Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 23rd, 1994.
From the great American Southwest and the high desert. Good morning, good evening, good morning, slash whatever. The first hour of this great odyssey and a brand new week. I call it Coast to Coast AM PM. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to the program and a brand new week of talk radio. And we are celebrating the beginning of the coverage of KFYI in Phoenix. Hello, everybody in Phoenix. It's good to be on the air there. Full time now. Good to be on KFYI. And we're going to celebrate that with about 2 hours of absolutely restricted toll-free access from Phoenix. So if you're at KFYI in Phoenix, it is your 2 hours. And you've got the toll-free line exclusively at 1-800-618-8255. It is great to be on the air in Phoenix full-time now. And this is the first, morning of it, live radio. Big full moon out there above the desert. And it is beautiful in the great American Southwest. And there's lots to talk about. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis buried next to her first husband, Jack, right next to the eternal flame that she lit at Arlington National Cemetery. It has been a state funeral. That's the only way to describe it, a state funeral. And there's only one question that is worthy of asking. And that is, why has the nation mourned as it would a president? The loss of Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy, or Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. At any rate, she is gone. She was a grand lady, and she is gone. A shootout at an Indianapolis restaurant, a Denny's, one dead, several injured, two gunmen in custody, and more violence in America. Healthcare, the real battle is now beginning to shape up. It's one-seventh of the U.S. economy, and the question is, what do you really want? The Democrats are running around saying Americans really want universal coverage, shared costs, price controls, all the rest of that to achieve, the march down the road toward socialized medicine. Is that really what you want? The balloon going up over the weekend for Hillary Clinton, it looks as though she may run to be president after her husband, and I wonder what your reaction to that is. No, I will not accept screams as a reaction. Dan Rostenkowski, probably about to be indicted, and the question is, should he be pardoned for the sake of the country and the sake of health care? Could the president get away with that politically? Illegal immigration, big story on NBC yesterday. Why we're not guarding our borders, you tell me. On our toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning. Where are you calling from, please?
Yes, good morning, Art. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona, KFYI.
Yes, sir. The grand celebration continues.
Glad to have you on KFYI. It's good to hear you.
Good to be here.
I wanted to address the issue, Art, of not controlling our borders.
Yes, sir.
One of the measures of our sovereignty, actually for any country, is the ability to control its borders. And if we can send thousands of troops over to Kuwait and to Somalia, it's pretty obvious that we do have the ability to protect our own borders.
It is true. We protect the border of Kuwait more zealously than we do our own.
And in any event, I think what's happening is that the government is trying to create a problem with immigration, and this relates to what is known as the Hegelian principle, where the government creates a problem and then stirs up anxiety amongst the people, and then the government steps in and offers a solution.
Well, it's working. The only part I haven't seen yet is the solution.
Well, the government is going to come in. They had a program on KFI a couple weeks ago about this, whereby President Clinton has two executive orders that are waiting to be signed, whereby the post office would issue national ID cards to everyone in the country. And so basically, by creating this problem of not being able to control the immigration coming over our borders, we identify the people who are not residents of the U.S. because they don't have this national ID card, and this offers a means for the government to usher in greater people control.
Let me try this one out on you. Over the weekend, 60 Minutes did a piece on England. Did you happen to catch that?
No, I didn't.
All right. Well, it's about the English, and they're fed up with the amount of immigration to England, and there is now a movement there, the BNP party, to throw out everybody who is not an English citizen. I mean, actually deport them, send them back home.
Uh-huh.
Would you support a movement like that here?
Well, there's, you know, benefits and risks with anything. It's a double-edged sword with any kind of technology, and I think that's what we'll be facing with issuing a national ID card, is that there would be the benefit of...
Well, I already got that, sir. I'm asking you my question. Answer that. Would you support throwing anybody who is not a citizen out?
I would support that in the sense that we are subsidizing a lot of people who are getting benefits that other people are bearing the burden of that.
All right. The only way to accomplish that, then, coming back to your topic, is deciding who is and who is not a citizen. You'd have to do that with an ID.
That's true. But the problem that I see with that, Art, is basically this would be the equivalent of taking on, in biblical terms, the mark of the beast. And there's a lot of people, Christians and American patriots, who may not want to go along with that. So,
well, which is it the Christians and the patriots want most? Do they want America for Americans, as the British say, British or England for the English, or do they fear the ID card more?
I think that they fear the ID card more. I know that's the way that I feel personally. I would opt for the freedom rather than the people control. You know, in terms of the New World Order.
All right. Well, that's clear. Let's see what others have to say. Thank you. What about it, everybody? Would you support a movement that would toss out everybody who is not a citizen? Is that a good idea? Is that what's going to begin happening worldwide? Would you accept an ID card so we could decide who is and who is not a citizen? Or would that be it? The mark of the beast. Every card issued. 666. Six. Yeah, I'll take mine. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello there. Are you in Phoenix?
No, I'm not.
Where are you?
This is KBI.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for the call, but we're only taking calls from KFYI Phoenix on the toll-free line, sir. Thank you for calling. On the wild card line, you're on the air. No, you're not. Now you are. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
It's Leonard in South Dakota.
Right. Your question about a peaceful march on Washington?
Wasn't my question, Leonard.
Well, somebody's...
The question, yes. What about it?
I've been begging you and Rick Nobe and Roger Fredenberg to get this book called The Illuminati and read what it says about this very issue.
Oh,
and
yes.
What happened was the Christians all decided to have a peaceful march on Washington, and so the Illuminati supplied about half a dozen armed men in each group that was in the march, the peaceful marches.
What march was this? When was this, Leonard?
Well, this is in the Illuminati's...
No, when was the march, Leonard?
In order to...
When was the march, Leonard?
When was the march?
Yes.
In this book.
It was only in the book.
Yes.
I see. All right. Well, I'm not so much interested in theoretical marches, Leonard, as I am in real ones. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Well, all right, KFYI.
Hi. You know, the thing on 60 Minutes, it wasn't just... expelling people who were not citizens from Britain. They want everybody who isn't English, whether they're citizens or not.
Well, that's, yes, that's about right.
Yeah, they could be citizens, but if they were Indian or Pakistani or whatever, they wanted them out.
Out, out, yes, indeed.
I don't think we could do that here.
Well, I don't think we could either. But if we could, would you be in favor of it?
No, I wouldn't be in favor of that, but everybody who is not a legitimate citizen, yes.
Well, that would be millions of people.
Not people who are on visa, but I'm talking about illegal aliens, yes.
Oh, that would be, let me repeat myself, millions of people.
Well, we got to start somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I agree.
The effort should be made. It could never, it would never be all accomplished, but I think the effort should start to be made.
Well, do you think that, obviously, the effort could only be begun through identification. That is the first step, and that would require, as the last caller said, or the caller before, is the mark of the beast.
I know. Gosh, you know what? I'm ambivalent.
maybe just like hotels don't have floor 13, they could issue these cards and use no sixes, you know, to relieve everybody's worry.
I don't think the sixes have much to do with it.
Well,
but, you know, not just from a biblical perspective, but from all the other corrupt things that could be done with that card, I'm kind of against that.
Well, how do you expel people that you...
I don't know, Art. That's why I said I'm ambivalent.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a conundrum, isn't it?
It is. Not kind of. I think that I would support some kind of ID. I'm not afraid of that.
Well, yeah, I would like to hear more about it because something has to be done about the border.
I mean, I have a Social Security card. That doesn't burn a hole through my pocket.
True, yeah.
I've managed to live with it. I've got a driver's license. That doesn't burn a hole through my pocket.
Well, you know, I'll have to reconsider that.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
Take care. Phoenix again on one of the wild card lines. Yes, we are holding open the toll-free line so there are no mistakes. Listen carefully to me. We're holding the toll-free line open for people at KFYI. KFYI Phoenix. At 1-800-618-8255. I don't think I'd mind a card. I could live with a card. I don't think it would be the end of the world if I were identified in some manner as a citizen of the United States. And why can't they make it legal to ask? What complete idiot passed a law saying you can't even ask somebody whether they are a citizen? Even the police in California, if you're stopped for some reason, cannot ask you if you're a citizen. It's illegal. That's lunacy. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good grief. Hillary as president. My God, man, you know how to give a woman a nightmare this time of night. Listen, what time do you go off the air?
Well, I don't know. Where are you?
Phoenix.
We go off the air at 4. I don't know that for sure. I think 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 hours. Hey, that's good. The Beer Baron did something good for once. We lost two really okay talk show hosts just because, well, this is my own head. I don't believe in coincidence. We lost two really good talk show hosts supporting Linda Thompson and what she's doing. I would like to see everyone call Linda Thompson and tell her, I stand behind you if you'll give up the gun part.
What happened to these talk show hosts?
Well, they're off the air.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. You've got a really tough line to follow with one guy we lost from 7 to 11. But he supported Linda Thompson, and so did another real late night one.
And they were supporting an armed march on Washington to capture congressmen and hang them?
Well, I don't believe that they believed that she was really serious about the lampposts and whatnot. But onward and upward, I'd really like to see people support her on this march without the guns. I've never agreed with going with
Well, I don't support anything until that aspect of it. I'm telling
right.
you, ma'am, that's dangerous stuff, and I wouldn't be part of that.
I know it.
That's what I told Linda, and from the moment she said it, and I still say it, it's damn dangerous, and I'm not for it. And you can, look, there's lots of ways to lose a country, and that's a really good one right there.
Well, I called. I couldn't get a hold of her, but I left a message that I would stand behind her 100% if she would get off of the gun business, because there'll be every wacko in the country over there. Now, Jack and Jackie and the overkill on Jackie, you know, those two represented the Cinderella and the Prince Charming myth back in those days. They were the I.E. Ken and Barbie and the dating game couple type of thing. You know, they had the youth, the wealth, and the beauty, whereas with the Nixons, they were, what, late middle age, they were married, they were business as usual, they were kind of mundane, and they were old-fashioned and low-key. And the media has always blown out of proportion youth, wealth, and beauty, and I think she always just held a kind of a, wannabe with the women of America, and I think that's why she was overplayed. And besides, they were liberal, and don't forget, in the 60s, that was a big movement in this country.
Well, Jack Kennedy actually was not, if you really look back at what he did, that liberal. By today's standards, he's darn near a conservative.
A moderate,
moderate at least, yeah.
Right, yeah, but in those days, if you took a look at the Nixons, they were the Kennedys were liberal in comparison.
Look, there are opposite situations. President Nixon left office before he was impeached. Jack Kennedy was martyred.
Right.
Those are big differences.
Right.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Big, big differences. But even given that, I am surprised and continue to be surprised at the level of grief everywhere over Jacqueline Kennedy. It was nothing short of a full state funeral, one that you would have for a president of the United States. I mean, there's no question about it. A lot of the networks, CNN has been damn near in full-time coverage. It has been an amazing spectacle. Toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Art Bell?
It is, yes.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller ever to any talk show.
Wow. Where are you?
San Diego.
San Diego, K-O-G-O.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want to make a comment about Linda Thompson's approach versus a peaceful demonstration.
All right.
In Washington. I don't know very much about Linda Thompson, and I missed your show, but somebody mailed me her Declaration of Independence. And when I read it, I got to agree with her. I think it's going to take this kind of step.
Oh, well, I agree with her complaints, and I think most of us do. It is only the solution that we have disagreements about.
Well, I think a peaceful demonstration would be a waste of precious money, time, and energy, because the powers that be in Washington don't give a rat's ass about what we feel or think. And I think that it would be a real eye-opener if she did it even armed, because I'm finding that the majority of Americans don't even care what's going on in this country.
No, ma'am, it would be a disaster. If she goes to Washington with guns, hunts down congressmen who have not complied with her demands, whatever they are, and then hangs them, there will be a slaughter, ma'am. A lot of people will be killed. A lot of good citizens and people who call themselves and, in fact, are patriots are going to be killed.
See, but I didn't think she'd go that far.
Well,
I thought she would really go with the insignia.
Why do you not think, ma'am, why do you not think that? She has said clearly what she wants to do. Clearly. It's not ambiguous. It's clear.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think that it would go that far. I don't think that the government would let it go that far. I think them being in an insignia uniform with a gun would be a real eye-opener, and I think precautions against them would be taken way before they had the chance to move into, let's say, any hall of Congress.
Well, look, I'm telling you, if I were in the government, president or anybody else, and somebody, a big group came, armed with guns, claiming they were going to hang congressmen, I'd damn well send force out and stop them.
All I'm saying, Art, is I don't think anything less than that is going to change our government. I think we absolutely have to have a revolution in this country, or nothing's going to change. They blatantly just tell you what they're going to do, and you have no recourse. Here in California, we wake up one morning, the legislatures give themselves gigantic pay raises. They don't care about the outcry. Today, Rockefeller on TV says you're all going to get health care, whether you want it or not.
I know.
That's their attitude. And when you have an attitude like that, and other than sitting at home and getting high blood pressure to nosebleeds, you almost have to take action. And if it's going to have to come to this, Art, if you knew me, I'm not even the type of person that would even believe in this. My husband would die if he knew I was sitting here talking to you on the phone right now. But in my heart, I know that we have to. It's going to take something this drastic to wake up America and to actually get the media focused on some of the issues that they just refuse to report. And I think it's not going to take anything less than what Linda Thompson wants to do. Anything else, other groups have done it. During the 60s, we had the war protests. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people.
Ma'am, we had civil disobedience. We weren't lynching Congress people. I've got to run. I'm
okay.
At the bottom of the hour. Thank you very much for the call. And you sound like a very nice lady, but you're wrong. I'm sorry you're wrong. We could lose it all. Be careful what you wish for.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Jack Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 23rd of May, 1994.
For the next 30 minutes, we continue to hold that toll-free line open for Phoenix only. Repeat, Phoenix only at 1-800-618-8255. Celebrating KFYI. Picking up the, they're carrying the entire show. All right, here's a fax I just received. Should be of some interest. It's kind of crazy. This is what I call a full moon fax. Art, I have answers for you. We all know you have an inquiring mind with a load of unanswered questions. I sympathize with your dilemma. Unanswered questions are a hobby of mine. Try this on for all your answers. The USA is the last superpower left on Earth. When the comet hits Jupiter, we will have all of our space observation hardware looking at Jupiter. It is a complicated plot to divert all our resources to monitor one direction, Jupiter. Jupiter is our biggest planet. Why not our biggest diversion? They are coming. It is a plot by the infamous They, the invaders from the planet Moron. Advanced units been here since late 40s. Their mission? To confuse us. If you look back at history, there is always one nagging question. What the hell was that all about? The Roswell crash. The Edsel. Hula hoop. Closing Studebaker. The magic bullet. The nuclear family. The Partridge family. Canceling Star Trek. The gas shortage. Body counts on the evening news. Disco. Bell bottoms. The next ice age. Billy Beer. Afghanistan. Grenada. 1984. The cosmic convergence. New age movement. Crop circles. Global warming. Cold fusion. Political correctness. Ozone depletion. And less frogs. But the answer is less frogs, you see. Frogs, the natural enemy of they. They, you see, thought they licked those frogs back when they wiped out the dinosaurs. Even though they tried, the frogs could not prevent the experiments with the USS Eldridge and the atomic bomb detonations from calling the attention of our galaxy to our small planet. The frogs have found an abundant source of baby formula here in the United States of America. If the frogs can use cold fusion to combine ozone with the iron-fortified baby formula, it would be the end of they through a cosmic upheaval within the Venusian lattice structure of the cosmos. They cannot let that happen. You see, so that's what I get when I open my fax line. Frogs. Less frogs. And I read that so that you might feel fully informed with regard to the fact that it is a full moon. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
I wish I didn't even be on with you right now because I'm normally a day shift worker, but I'm home sick with a chicken pox so I can stay up late.
Oh, the chicken pox. Huh?
Yes.
Oh, that's a bummer when you're an adult.
It is. But... It's given me some time to sit down and do some writing.
Where are you, Bob?
I'm in Phoenix.
Phoenix, all right.
Yes, sir. Art, I sent you a letter a couple days ago. Enclosed in that letter was a pamphlet and a resolution known as the Refounding Amendment.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Not yet.
Okay, keep your eyes open for it. Art, Linda Thompson she's played a trump card, obviously. There's people like you and me and thousands upon thousands of others, Americans, are sick and tired and fed up, but they don't know what to do, and they get so distracted swatting the bills, H.R. 6 and Global 2000 and the Brady Bill, that they don't realize the whole root of the tree is rotten, and we need to cut the tree down and start with a new tree.
No, we don't.
I think so. Well,
no, we don't, sir. No, sir. The tree is our Constitution.
And I agree. Okay. I'm talking about the government.
Well, I'm telling you, the tree, sir, is our Constitution.
Okay, okay.
And the minute you chop that down, it's all gone.
Okay, I'll give you that. I think we're saying the same thing. We're just using different analogies here. The Refounding Amendment is about that. The Refounding Amendment is about getting back to the Constitution.
Through what means?
Through the means of getting, you get 38 states to pass a resolution. 25 states have initiative measures whereby they can pass by getting things onto the ballot just by signatures.
Yes.
They can get the resolution enacted for that state.
Are you talking about the ultimatum resolution?
No, sir. It's very similar to that.
Okay.
It's very similar, but I think it plugs a few holes that the ultimatum resolution has in it. It provides for a constitutional method by passing an amendment, essentially, amending the Constitution, which part of that would be to eliminate every amendment after the 10th Amendment while still providing for the good provisions that were provided by many of those amendments. For example, it says in the Refounding Amendment that there shall never be slavery, things of that nature. But it still gets rid of a lot of the underhanded things that have been passed in the name of these more recent amendments to the Constitution. And it would essentially dissolve the federal government, but it would provide a method for reinstituting the federal government immediately, and it would eliminate all of the extraneous agencies, such as the FEMA and the EPA and the BATF and the IRS and et cetera, et cetera. I think if you sit down and read it, when you'll get it, you'll see it. It's a blue
paper. All right, well, I'd be glad to read it.
I hope you do, and I hope that you get the word out, because otherwise, what Linda Thompson has done is she's provided a lot of people with ears open looking for a solution.
Yeah, well, it's a bad solution. It's either stupid or dangerous or
I
both.
I agree with you.
Thank you very much for the call. So I asked my feeling on it. If Linda Thompson were here, I'd tell her myself, and I did when she was here. Stupid or dangerous, I'm not sure which. Both, maybe. If it's carried through, it's dangerous. Announcing it ahead of time is stupid. Except that it has promoted a very large controversy, of course. Postal workers, let me see. Postal Service, IRS developing national identity cards. Clinton may give okay. The Clinton administration is working on, this is a fax I just got, on creating an identification card that every American will need to interact with any federal government agency. The card initiative came into the forefront at last month's Card Tech Secure Tech Conference in Crystal City, Virginia, as federal agencies, including the U.S. Postal Service and the Internal Revenue Service, began detailing their various proposals. At the gathering, where security experts convened to discuss business and government applications for smart card and PCMCIA memory card technologies, the Postal Service presented a proposal for a general-purpose U.S. services smart card, which individuals and companies would use to authenticate their identities when sending and receiving email, transferring funds, and interacting with various government agencies. Now, there it is, the mark of the beastie. Everybody. The Postal Service is considering acting as a distribution point or agency for this hotsy-totsy new card they're talking about. Good idea or bad idea? Will you take yours humbly, or will you loudly proclaim, I live free or die, and tell them what to do with their card? On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like to say...
Where are you calling from, sir?
This is Eddie in Woodland Hills, California.
Okay, Eddie, thanks for the call, but we're holding that line open for Phoenix. On our first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there? No, you're not. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. It's Denise in Wichita.
Hi, Denise. How's everything in Kansas this morning?
Hi. Well, fine, except I've gotten information that the knock and talk, the warrantless searches have started in Wichita.
Oh?
So I don't quite know how to read that, except that I think it's kind of unconstitutional. But, Art, I wanted to talk to you about Linda.
Well, actually, it isn't. I mean, they can knock and talk. That is not illegal. I can come to your door.
Right.
And you say, and you open your door, and I start talking to you. That is legal.
That is legal, but to come on in and to search without a warrant, I believe that's illegal.
Well, it certainly would be if you said no.
Right.
But if you say yes, well, then I guess it would be legal.
Well, anybody that says yes is a fool.
Well, that's enough. That's another subject.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I've heard people talking about Linda Thompson in the march in September, and I have a document in front of me, and in fact, I faxed it to you a little bit ago, and this is from the Committee of 1776.
Yes, I have it, yes.
Okay, and they're calling for a demonstration on July 2nd at each state capital.
Right.
And this is being organized state by state, and I did talk to Linda Thompson about this, and she said that if this was successful, i.e. getting the message across to our government, that her march in September would not really have a purpose to serve their voice.
I see.
Call it off.
So she's beginning to hedge a little bit. I'm thankful if that is true.
Well, all I know is what I told you.
When did you speak with her?
On computer bulletin board about a week ago.
About a week ago.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just, you know, we'll mark time and see what she does.
Yeah, we will. But, you know, I mean, at what point are we going to decide that this is wise action? I mean, at some point, we have to take a stand. And our founding fathers have given us the legacy, and they called it a duty, that we do uphold the Constitution and that we do overcome tyranny. And I think it's interesting, Art. Have you noticed it seems to be women that are more behind Linda than men? I don't know what that means, but...
it's an interesting observation, yes.
Yeah, well, I have noticed that, and I don't know. I mean, the New World Order is in our front yard, and at what point do we say, okay, it's time to take up arms?
Well, I don't know, but I know this. If I were the president, or I were the FBI, or I was in control in any way in Washington, and I knew a bunch of people were coming with guns to begin hanging congresspeople, I would stop them with force.
Probably so. I'm sure that they will try. In fact, I've heard that there's 150 National Guards that are training just for September, so it will be interesting if it happens.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yes. Well, God bless you, Art.
All right. Well, watch out for the knock on the door.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
I'm telling them they can't come in. I have diarrhea or any excuse. I don't care what.
All right. Goodbye. Knock and talk. Knock and talk. They knock on the door, and the talk is, would you mind if we come in and search for this or that? Oh, you'd mind? Really? Would you mind? Why would you mind? What do you have in there that that you don't want us to see? No, knock and talk is not technically, as far as I can see, unconstitutional. It's just kind of uncivilized. But we live in a very uncivilized time, don't we? On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning. Where are you calling from, please?
Yes, Art. This is Bob. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and welcome to KFYI.
It's good to be there.
Hey, I was just listening in, and I don't know about this revolution in the fall coming up in September.
Well, first of all, technically, she has not called for a revolution. I don't know exactly what it is she's called for. She's called for an armed militia go to Washington and round up congressmen who have not not somehow complied with her demands, and then put them on trial. That's what she's been talking about.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they're going about it the wrong way.
Oh, I know.
To voice your opinion, that's why we have the right to vote.
Well, that's why we have the Constitution. Yeah,
and that's the reason stipulated in the Constitution. And she needs to start her own political party if she really wants to change things here in the United States. She needs to start her own.
That'd be a move.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'll tell you, that could have been done by Ross Perot, and I think he missed the boat. I don't know why he didn't start another political party. He should have.
Yeah, he had it running real good.
Yeah.
It was off the ground and running.
What he proved was that it could be done with the right leadership and the right ideas. It could be done, but he didn't do it.
He didn't follow through.
Exactly.
It's a shame. There are a lot of things here in the United States we do have to work on and change. But just going down to the House and start hanging people, that's just not the way to do it.
Glad to hear you say it. Thank you very much for the call. That's Phoenix yet again. Good to be on the air there. Yeah, there's lots of ways to lose a country. And most revolutions go all wrong, you know. They go all wrong. And about the best you could hope for at the other end of a revolution would be some sort of benign dictatorship, some sort of paternalistic dictatorship. It really is the topic that, again, we talked about with my guest Friday night, Saturday morning. That was a very good program with the Time correspondent. I thought he was very, very good. When, what was it? When the Almond Tree Blossoms, I think is the name of his book. On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Marie in Marysville.
Hello, Marie.
I call all the time, but I was just wondering why everybody still thinks that we're through.
That we're through?
That Perot is through.
Oh, well, I think he just missed a lot of opportunities, Marie.
Well, I'm saying the people behind him, we're still out here and we're still active.
Well, I don't hear much about it anymore. What's going on?
Well, to be a third party, you wouldn't believe the hassle it is. And right now we're just politically active, and we're still working. United We Stand is still here.
I understand. And it's just been very quiet lately.
Well, we're just, you know, we get the elected officials together to talk to us, and we have a real debate with them. Anybody can ask a question that comes to the meetings when the candidates are there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that rehearsed that Clinton has. And I'd like to hear more from the other people about this going to the state capitals. I think that's a good idea. You could get more active in that.
Well, I think it is a good idea, too.
Well, if they could give some more ideas on the air, I'd sure like to hear it.
All right, Marie, we'll solicit that. People are looking for something to do, that's for sure, and that is one option coming up July 2nd. A good, peaceful demonstration. Why is everybody so ready to give up on the power of the people? I kind of wonder about that. You're so ready to take such an extreme step, so many of you, giving up on the greatest country on the face of the earth with the greatest constitution. Bent and bruised as it may be at the moment, it remains the very best. And why would you so easily, so soon, risk losing it all? I don't compute that. On our toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir. Where are you?
I'm calling from Phoenix, technically.
Technically? What does that mean?
I mean, I got a mountain in the way.
Well, that's all right.
I don't hear you on KFYI. Matter of fact, they change their antenna at night about 6:30.
I see. Where are you actually?
I'm in Black Canyon City. It's right up the road from them.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, you're just in exactly the wrong place.
Exactly.
I see.
I'd like to talk to you about Linda Thompson.
All right.
Do you know anything illegal she's proposing?
Yes.
What's that?
Going to Washington and hunting congressmen, putting them on trial and hanging them. What would you call that?
I would call that constitutional law.
You would?
Yeah. Well,
and what constitutionally... A set up justice system would that be, sir, that would produce this sentence and this execution?
Well, you got to put them on trial first and find them guilty.
Well, and what properly constituted authority would be doing that?
Under the Constitution, we'd be doing that.
Now, which branch of government would Linda's court fall under?
Well, I would think if the military doesn't back her, she doesn't stand a chance. But if she dresses, files her grievances with the military, and which would probably be the National Guard.
Well, I would think they would be the people opposing her.
Well, you know.
And I would think it would be proper that they would.
Art, if they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they underhandedly. Want to undermine the Constitution and take away our rights and enslave us. You know, our founding fathers gave us this clause in our...
How have you been enslaved?
We are about to be enslaved, buddy.
About to be? Oh, you mean it hasn't happened yet?
No, they're working on it all.
So you're going to execute people for a deed that has not yet been committed. That's a new kind of justice, as far as I can tell.
Well, Art, you were in the military...
Yes, sir, I was.
And you know all about treason, you know. You had to give your oath to the Constitution.
Yeah. What treason are you referring to, sir?
Do you know what a treasonous act is?
Yes. Well, I'm asking you specifically what act you're referring to. Whose treason?
Oh, well, If I'm going to get into something here, and you're not going to like it. Everybody talks about the Illuminati, the One World Order, and everything.
Mm. Well, what I'm not going to do is have time for it. I've got a newscast coming up, so I've got to cut you off. I'm going to allow you to call back later if you can get through again, all right?
All right.
All right, thanks for the call. Boy, boy. It is a full moon, it is an extreme night, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 23rd, 1994.
Under the influence of a great big full moon up there. Believe me, under that influence. Talking of many things this morning, still somehow talking about when the almond tree blossoms. Apparently in September, huh? And we're talking about all kinds of other things. Here's another fact to prove the full moon theory. Dear Art, the last fact was in error. Our planet is about to be destroyed by the Vulcans in order to make way for an intergalactic highway. The universe is controlled by fifth-dimensional beings whose appearance in this dimension is in the form of a white mouse. Scientists think they are controlling the experiments, but are they really being controlled by these white mice? Art, there's only one rule in the universe, and that is to bring your own towel. Remember the first two words of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, don't panic. Sincerely, Mike. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where the full moon obviously also reigns. Lots and lots of faxes to deal with, and I'll do them as they can. We're talking about a national ID card. Art, my wife is a Mexican national, legally in this country. My problem with the SOS program is my wife will be stopped all the time. Her papers... Papers, please. She will have to wear a badge to say she's okay. My son is bilingual and prefers to speak Spanish. He'll be stopped also for his papers. He is an American. Sorry about the spelling. It's not my big suit. No problem. That's Larry in Baldwin Park, California. So, what do you guys think? U.S. Postal Service issuing a ID card for all Americans. Good idea or foul? It appears to be underway. And lots of other topics on the toll-free line. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
Phoenix calling. I got through to you.
Where are you?
I'm in Phoenix.
Phoenix, KFYI. Yes.
Yes. Good morning. I've been listening to you for years. I think this is a good move. Got you on longer. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Oh, I'm ashamed to say my name is Charlie.
Well, don't be ashamed of your name. Don't let him ruin. The liberals do that to words. They ruin entire words, and now they're ruining names.
The one thing I'm not ashamed of is I don't agree with anything he stands for. I have a friend who's actually going to take vacation to go with Linda Thompson. That scares me.
Well, the whole thing scares me.
Well, me too. But I'm just glad you're there. And I will continue listening to you, and I appreciate you.
Good to know you're there. Thank you.
All right.
A lot of people in Phoenix obviously have discovered the fact that we are here. Hello there on the wild card line. You're on the air.
Art Bell?
Yes.
Hi, what time is it there?
What time is it here? It's 10 after 1 in the morning on the West Coast.
I'm listening to you on like three different channels, and it's delayed. I'm really surprised I got in.
Where are you?
I'm in Santa Barbara listening to you at KQSB and also Kogo out of San Diego.
All right, very good.
A couple others, but anyway, Linda Thompson, geez, that's really spooky. If she wants to tear the whole thing down, our forefathers gave us a means with the
Well, you know what it means? It means the great experiment is over and it's a failure. That's what it means.
No, if we can't
change things peaceably, if we've got to pick up a gun, then it has all failed and America is a failure.
But isn't the Continental Congress, isn't that our right to call a Continental Congress and do it peacefully? But it's the same thing. We're tearing it all down and starting over. And who are we going to put in charge of starting over? No way. It's spooky. Let's just leave it the way it is or change it somehow, but not take up arms.
You want Linda Thompson in charge?
No, I don't want Linda Thompson in charge. She's too radical. We've got to sit down and try to, you know, deal with our problems with a calm mind, a calm, sensible mind, instead of jumping in with arms. It's ridiculous.
That's my view.
Well, thanks, Art.
Thank you, sir. Have a good morning. KQSB, that is, in Santa Barbara and apparently others. We're also talking about Haiti. We're getting ready, I suppose, to invade Haiti. It'll happen one morning. MFN for China, the big question, the big problem for the president. The tobacco companies on secondhand smoke, that's an important issue. You know what they're saying? They're saying the whole secondhand smoke thing is a bunch of crapola. And I tend to believe that it is, too. They say that if you smoke and your spouse lives with you, she gets the equivalent of 1 to 1.5 cigarettes per month. And to put that in perspective, as I said in my open, if you live in L.A., you get 1 to 2 packs per day, just breathing the air there. Of course, secondhand smoke is the only way they can leverage laws into place against smoking. Dan Rostenkowski, about to be indicted in all likelihood. Whether he'll get a break, something like a pardon. You know, I had a lot of people calling last week saying, oh, he ought to be pardoned. For the sake of the country and health care, he ought to be pardoned, no matter what he's done. Hillary Clinton, a big balloon going up over the weekend. Hillary Clinton talking about running to succeed her husband. And my only question is, could you stand it? Healthcare, big debate ensuing and getting underway on Capitol Hill, and they're finally getting down to the real nitty-gritty and the details of healthcare. And it's simple. Can we afford it? Can we afford it? And the Democrats don't talk about the cost. They talk about mandates and lots of other things. Mandates really mean taxes, but they don't say that. Mandates sounds better, but it still comes out of your pocketbook or that of your employer and ultimately of America's job pool. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tony from Sacramento.
Hi, Tony.
I'm a law student, and as a law student, I wanted to respond to Linda.
Oh?
And, yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, there's nothing in our Constitution which gives citizens the right to raise up arms against the government.
Nothing I'm aware of. Right, exactly right. And certainly nothing that gives or invests in her, no matter what document she prints up, the right to put people on trial and execute them.
The last time I read it, the right to interpret the Constitution is ultimately in the Supreme Court. Now, I guess the argument could be, well, you know, the Supreme Court is appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate, et cetera, and that therefore if there's something wrong with those branches of government that we can't depend on them. But that's not the case here. I mean, unless the mechanisms of democracy break down, that would be the only time. So far, as far as I looked, I could vote. So.
Yes, the mechanisms of democracy are arguably strained at the moment, but they have not broken down. They still exist, and I think we have a lot of people who don't like the outcome. I'm one of them. I don't like this president. I don't like his administration. I'm not afraid to say so, and I didn't vote for him, I am not prepared to take to arms to change that. I'm willing to go back to the ballot and change it there.
And you have the freedom to dissent in a peaceable manner. You can say this to an audience that's probably in the thousands all over the country. You can say this, and no one is stopping you. I mean, I think that we have to remember that tyranny would be if they came and shut you down and said, well, you no longer have the right to speak out against the government, at least in a peaceable manner.
Yes, that would be certainly one measure. Another would be if they actually truly came to confiscate what arms you have in violation of your Second Amendment.
Without a warrant for your arrest or without due process of law.
Yes.
Right.
Precisely. They get up to the edge of it with the knock and talk. But again, it's not strictly unconstitutional. They're up to the edge on everything. If
yes.
if they walk over, it's a different story.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really there for me. If you examine our various freedoms, they are perhaps being infringed, or it's close, no matter which one you want to talk about. They're all being challenged. But that's what we do in America. We ride the edge, we challenge. I don't think that it has gone over the edge yet. When it does, then you have a different argument. But the whole idea is to try and utilize the constitutional framework we have now to change what we don't like. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi there. About the smoking.
Smoking, yes. Where are you?
In Orchid, California.
Orchid, California, all right.
I think it's KSMA.
All right, get right into your telephone for us.
It seems like I can't even walk down the street without...
Sir, I'm just not hearing you well enough. You're going to have to get into your phone a little bit there.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like I can't even walk down the street without someone coming up and when I'm smoking and walking by me and making a comment or coughing and then making a comment.
Yeah, I really hate that.
Are you a smoker?
Yeah, do you have... Yes, I am.
Yeah. It's just getting, you know, really irritating. And I'd like to have someone look into who's funding all these tests saying that secondhand smoke is so harmful.
Well, it's the EPA. It's our government.
Well, do the big chemical companies have anything to do with it?
Well, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
No, I don't know. It just seems like...
Listen on the air, please. Secondhand smoke is a very important issue because only with secondhand smoke can they pass the kind of restrictive smoking legislation that they're now passing. Only with the issue of secondhand smoke. And this is what the tobacco companies wisely have decided to attack. Now, you may choose not to believe it, but the tobacco companies are releasing studies, Reynolds just did, showing that if you live with somebody who is a smoker, and you are not, you take in, through secondhand smoke, the equivalent of a cigarette or a cigarette and a half in a month, in 1 month. And I say again, to put it in perspective, imagine this. To live in Los Angeles every day and breathe the air is equivalent to a pack or two of cigarettes per day. So what are they doing with secondhand smoke? They're using it as a way to launch restrictive legislation against smoking, period. Because of his campaign promise to cut the budget, remember the budget deficit, Ronald Reagan formed the Grace Commission back in the early 1980s. The commission's task was to uncover government waste at every level, to report back to the President and Congress on how to cut spending. Well, they did that. The Grace Commission discovered that taxpayers' money was going for everything from $436 hammers to funding a study to find out the average length of airline stewardesses' noses. Why would they want to know the average length of an airline stewardess's nose? On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello? You're wasting money by not talking. We're waiting.
Hello?
Yes, hello. You are there.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Oh, I thought this isn't the toll-free line. This is the wild card line.
Well, you dialed it, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I was just looking at my map. Do you remember what happened in 1931?
Why didn't you answer the phone when I came to you? You thought it was another line, I guess?
Yeah, I thought it was your toll-free line, and I'm on the wild card line, I thought.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, that confused me. Sorry. KVI.
Yes.
Yeah, my phone's on, my radio's off. In 31, we had the bonus march.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And they were unarmed citizens.
A lot of people got hurt.
Yeah.
What do you think would have happened if all those veterans had had guns and were intent on lynching congressmen?
Well, I think then General Douglas MacArthur wouldn't have 5 stars, and Dwight D. Eisenhower wouldn't have 5 stars, and Patton wouldn't be in Europe.
Oh? What do you think would have happened?
Well, maybe the Congress would have listened.
Maybe they would have listened. There would have been a real slaughter then.
Well, I don't know, because how can military people kill vets, their own vets?
Well,
World War I vets.
I think that it would be very difficult, and for that matter, if Linda Thompson goes marching off as to war with a bunch of women and maybe even children, it's also going to be very damn difficult, and it's going to be a tragedy.
Well, I want to alert you to one other thing here. Here it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it.
Yes, oh yes. Mm-hmm.
And institute a new government.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says here, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government.
We don't have absolute despotism. Where'd you get that?
Well, that's...
All right, document that. What is the absolute despotism you're talking about?
This is out of the Declaration.
Oh, forget. You tell me. What is the absolute despotism you're talking about? No, don't laugh.
Well, it's gun control. It's getting to that.
What gun control? Nobody's taken any guns away yet.
Not yet.
Yet. Yes, that's an important fact.
It's the Y word. Well, all I'm saying is that I'm concerned.
I'm concerned, too, about somebody who would so prematurely call for something that would end what America is so quickly.
Oh, I agree, but I think there should be demonstrations unarmed.
Oh, well, then say that out loud, sir.
Well, I was getting to that.
Oh, good. Thank you very much for the call. On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Is this our bell?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Kamala, and I'm calling from Bozeman, Montana.
Bozeman, Montana. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I'm really concerned about that Linda Thompson thing also. Another thing I'm really concerned with are all of the U.N. troops that are coming into the different states.
Do you know I have yet to see my first U.N. troop? I know they're here, and when I was in the Air Force, I used to train with them. But I have not seen this big influx. Where are they in Montana?
Well, they've been seen. We had a couple of days ago, there was between Billings and Livingston seen, not by me personally, but by some friends of mine, 35 missile loading cranes for loading vehicles with UN attached to them. We've got pictures of tanks that are sitting on the railroad on rail cars with UN marked on them.
Well, they come through here all the time.
Yeah.
U.S. Army, usually, or...
Well, these have got UN right on them.
UN on them, huh?
Where do you
think these tanks are going?
Well, we're not sure. They say that they're going up the road. In Cheyenne, there were 6 Egyptians, dressed in military uniform in a gun store. And one of them spoke pretty good English, and again, this is, just a report. And they were asked where they were going, and the one that spoke fairly good English said, well, they were going up the road. Just here we had a report this evening that in Guernsey, Wyoming,
yes,
the National Guard unit there was notified to clear out within 45 days to make way for UN troops that were coming in to take over the National Guard unit there. They've had Apache full-loaded military helicopters flying around Butte, Montana, and where they appeared to be black. They were asked if they were black, and they said, well, they weren't sure if they were black.
More black helicopters, huh?
Yeah. They were also seen flying over the rims in Billings, Montana, up whereby my good friend Red Beckman has had his home demolished.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah. And so I think people need to be aware. I'm not sure. I don't feel that I approve of what Linda Thompson's doing. I think she's asking for trouble up there. And I don't believe there's probably a unit in Montana that's going to be heading over there. I think we need to start thinking about a few things that's going on in the United States, this thing with Red Beckman. Your house could be next.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, probably not.
I pay my taxes, and
yeah.
B, I don't thumb my nose at the federal government, and to some degree, Red Beckman certainly did that.
Well, everything he did is documented, and, you know, you really need to talk with him to know what
I have talked to Red Beckman.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the U.N. troops and everything coming in, I think people need to start waking up a little bit and finding out what's really going on in their state.
Ma'am, the U.N. can't even control small outbreaks of small wars in third world nations. What makes you think they could control this country?
Well, I guess I'm thinking if you've got 3,000 U.N. troops in the United States, that they could probably do a lot. The assault weapons ban started it.
All right. Well, I've got to run. I'm at the bottom of the hour. Thank you. Stay out of black helicopters, everybody. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. On the air in Phoenix now, full time on KFYI. Good to be there along with all the rest of you. Feel free to pick up a telephone and join us. Let me give you the telephone numbers quickly. Please write these down. I don't repeat them that frequently. Our first time caller line for anybody who's never called is area code 702. 727-1222. Please, by the way, dial carefully, lest you wake people up in my small desert community. Area code 702-727-1222. The wildcard direct dial lines, area code 702-727-1295. 702-727-1295. And finally, toll free. The number is 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. Those be the numbers. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. KOH up here in Reno.
Yes, sir. The mighty KOH on 780.
Yes, it is. You know, Clinton has got us in an absolute disaster in Haiti. He embargoed Haiti, totally destroyed their economy.
Well, almost destroyed it.
Well, it was pretty bad to begin with. And
that's
now,
true.
The more you embargo it, the worse it gets for the people. They can't defend themselves, so they leave the island or commit more crimes. As they commit more crime, the military cracks down even worse on them, and then it causes more people to leave the country.
That's right.
Now he's talking about embargo in the Dominican Republic.
That's right.
I have never seen such a disaster in my life. For the United States, because they said they're exporting a third world under-resources, or smuggle them out of the country. If this crap comes on this way, let me tell you, the French or the Belgians out of Liège will ship them all the arms they want.
Of course.
Of course they will. And they can build anything they want in Brazil.
Of course.
So, anyway, Clinton has got us in a jam. I think he hates to admit that he'd have to arm the people to get themselves out of their own jam.
What do you think he will do? I think that is the best idea. I heard somebody called the program the other morning and said, let us arm the Haitians. And I couldn't agree more. As an alternative to sending our own flesh and blood or whatever else we might try, let us arm the Haitians.
Well, that was me, and the only point I forgot to make in that call was that we've destroyed their economy, and now he's talking about doing the same to the Dominican Republic, which is fairly well stabilized.
Well, Clinton won't arm anybody. Maybe he considers it a bad precedent. He won't even arm the Bosnians so they can protect themselves.
We're going to regret that move later on, too.
I know.
We are.
But, no, I think if you arm the Haitians and then tell the military leaders they can't leave, it'll be get even time. But,
no, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's the best plan at this point. I don't know how else you can do it.
Well, I haven't even heard the Clinton administration whisper about arming the Haitians. and again, I think they consider it to be a bad precedent. They don't want to arm anybody.
There's one third alternative, which they may do. They may do a dog and pony show where they say, well, we've run them out of town. All the military leaders are leaving. When, in fact, what you've done is you've bribed them to leave the country and give them some of the money under the table to go live someplace else. I've seen that happen.
Well, then just some more people would take over, and we'd have to bribe them. There'd be no end to it.
Well, like I said, I've never seen such a disaster.
I'm sure the way this is going to end up, I can see easily the way it's going to end up. He's going to have to invade Haiti.
Well, he probably will, and he'll probably get all the favorable press he can, and he probably won't handle it, right? And you know, it takes about the 15 support personnel for each military guy in combat, and we've already stripped down a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of backing to go anyplace anymore.
Well, we could easily do Haiti. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Right, thank you very much for the call. You know, it's going to be a disaster, though. And the Haitian military there will be sure that it is. The example we had at Port-au-Prince when our ship tried to dock and was turned back by a bunch of armed thugs on the dock is only a taste of what they would do if we actually tried to land there. We have the power, of course, to take Haiti. Diminished as we may be at the moment, that would be nothing. But I guess you don't say the blood of Americans, even though it'd be a few, would be nothing, because it would be something. And it would be a disaster for this country. So the whole idea of possibly invading Haiti is lunacy. Absolute, unmitigated lunacy. And the embargo that's being slammed on Haiti and possibly now the Dominican Republic is also lunacy. It is creating a condition that will force the invasion. People leaving Haiti en masse. And it's going to exacerbate the condition and force an invasion. What a mess. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art.
Yes.
Earlier, the guy was reading the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Remember? Mm-hmm. About the absolute government. And you said, what absolute government?
No, I didn't say what absolute government.
What did you say?
I think he was reading some line that had to do with absolute tyranny or something.
Right. And then if you read the rest of the Declaration of Independence, they actually itemize the absolute tyranny, and it applies today even more. For instance, you're talking about Red Beckman. Did King George, or can you think of any other absolute tyranny where they can demolish your house without a trial by jury? Right here in the Declaration of Independence, it says that the king was depriving the citizens of trial by jury.
Well, look, let me put it to you this way. I pay my taxes. Do you pay taxes?
What about trial by jury? That's one of Red Beckman's number one things. And they made a big point of not giving him a trial by jury before they demolished his house.
Well, the IRS acts in ways that I don't find, that I'm not comfortable with fully.
Right, you said what? Absolute tyranny. That's exactly what Thomas Jefferson or Paine, whoever wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, but this is somebody who didn't pay his taxes, sir.
But this is a government that denies the people trial by jury. It's also a government that has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers. It's also a government that keeps standing armies amongst us.
Okay. Oh, keep standing armies among us?
Yes, I'm reading the Declaration of Independence. He, the king, has kept among us in times of peace standing armies.
What king?
King George. The Declaration of Independence was a list.
I thought you were talking about modern times.
I'm saying that it applies the same way today.
It does.
Just as the king has done.
So, well, I don't. I'm not sure that I, sir. I'm not sure that I consider it absolute tyranny if the government or the IRS finally moves against somebody who snubs their nose at them and doesn't pay taxes.
Without trial by jury.
I pay taxes. Do you pay taxes?
Without trial by jury?
Do you only demand that I answer your questions, or are you going to answer a couple of mine?
Well, you haven't answered my first question, which is, does an absolute government give its citizens trial by jury, or does it not?
Well, you have a right to a trial by jury.
And that's what the king didn't give the colonists, and that's why they abolished that government.
All right, now, I'll try again. Do you pay taxes?
Do I?
Yes, sir, that's the question.
No, they steal taxes from me.
All right, well, goodbye. They steal taxes from me. Look, I'm not any happy. I pay taxes, and I bitch like hell every year. I don't like it either, but I pay my taxes. And there are people running around who say, oh, the 16th Amendment was never ratified. I'm not paying taxes. I don't have to pay taxes. Well, you drive on the roads. You utilize the highways and byways and all the services that are provided to you. That those tax dollars, albeit with all the waste, provide. And so you share in all of that, and yet you don't want to pay your part? Well, I think I might have a complaint about that. I'm certainly not in favor of the methods the IRS uses. A lot of them are high-handed, in my view at times, bordering on the unconstitutional. But those are used for the most part, not always, but for the most part, against people who snub their nose and say, I'm not paying. Well, eventually, they don't move quickly, but they move, and eventually they catch up with you. On the wild card line, you're on the air. No, on this wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you know, this is Missoula.
Missoula, Montana. Yes, sir.
Hey, I've been trying to get on the... I call KGO in San Francisco.
Yes.
And I was trying to say about smoking. Now, I'm a Democrat, and I'll tell you what, I'm getting kind of tired of these people against smoking. What is the biggest problem of I thought the Democrats were supposed to stand up for the smokers' rights, but they're against the smokers, and they're kind of turning against me. And these firemen people are just incredible. Amount of money, campaign money, saying, oh, you can't grow this and you can't grow that. And I'm right about to go to Kentucky and say, hey, wait a minute now. Not all Democrats are against it, and I'll stand up for those Kentucky farmers if I have to. Because where the heck are they going to get the jobs?
Are you talking about the Kentucky farmers that are growing marijuana?
No.
No?
Tobacco.
That's mostly in the Carolinas, and I guess some in Kentucky.
Well, it was on Nightline.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And they were talking about smoking?
Well, no, they were showing, well, see, on Nightline, right?
Yeah.
It was showing Kentucky farmers. I don't know what part of Kentucky it was showing, and they said they can't grow anything else. And
other than tobacco, you mean?
Right. And, you know, these environments, these...
Environmentalists? Is that what you're saying, environmentalists?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, for a Democrat, I'm very liberal Democrat, but I am against, I'm not against smoking at all. I mean, what is my own party is turning on smokers? I stand up for the American smokers' rights. Because, if you look at it, more people smoke and smoke and smoke. And it, you know, look at the Indians, they smoke. You know, it doesn't kill them. You know, I don't believe that secondhand smoke wash.
Well, so do I, sir. Thank you for the call. That's what I've been saying. The secondhand smoke issue is the big issue. And I've said right along, if they're able to make that one stick, then eventually they will be rid of smoking in America. It will be illegal. And they will do it on the backs of the secondhand smoke issue without question. Not much they can say if it's just you. But if they can prove that you're making other people sick, or try and prove it by telling the lie frequently enough that finally it is believed by most of the American people, then I guess we can move the tanks from Waco and then against the big tobacco companies, eh? On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Conrad in Eugene, Oregon.
Hello, Conrad.
How are you doing?
Fine, that's KPNW.
That's KPNW, that's right. Yeah, I misdialed evidently. I was dialing your 800 number, and I got a record.
Do the wild thing at 702-727-1295.
I'm going to have to make this kind of quick, but that was a joke. Anyway.
Was that a joke?
Not a very good one, evidently. But what I was going to ask you is what was the topic of your Dreamland show? Because they're not carrying it yet in our area, and I want to know if it's something I should...
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think KBNW is carrying it.
Are they really? Now, what time does that air?
7 to 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
Okay, 7 to 10. Okay, so I'm new to your show here, and I assumed that it was during the same time period?
No, sir, it is not. It's 7 to 10 Sunday night Pacific time.
Okay, I wondered because they, during the regular time slot, they re-ran the bits and pieces. They had like three different shows of your earlier program. Anyway, okay. So what was the topic of it?
The topic was UFOs. It was a writer from Omni Magazine.
Okay, well, guess I'll have to see if I can get a tape of that. Do you offer those?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, you're welcome. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, I was listening to your program tonight. And have you ever drove up next to someone and heard, sitting there in a car and they're talking to themselves?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I have, and I've also seen people walking along the street talking wildly to themselves as well.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, and I always wondered why they talk to themselves, and I figured it out.
Why is that?
Because there's no argument, you know, and I do it sometimes.
I disagree with you. I think most of those people are getting an argument, and that's why they talk like that. Haven't you ever heard the way they do it? It's usually kind of shrill, as though they're arguing with some internal demon.
Yeah, sometimes they are arguing and they seem kind of mad.
Exactly.
That's true, but sometimes when they're talking, they just sit there, they're talking to themselves, and they're in a good mood. But I was thinking to myself, too, I was talking to myself earlier about, you guys were talking about tanks and guns and Apache helicopters. Any man that has to use any of those is not a real man to me. But it started way back in a long time ago when they started using swords. But anyways... I'll go ahead and let someone else get in.
Okie dokie. Thank you. I think the moon presses hard. And on the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art Bell.
Hello.
My name's Greg Lear. I'm in Oregon here.
Hello, Greg.
Yeah, I got something to say about that thing you were saying about the government spending all that money.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that they're spending it on some pretty stupid things.
They are.
Like, is there any proof of the things that they're spending that money on?
I mean, like, why do we need to know the average length of an airline stewardess's nose?
Well,
if it was legs they were doing, that'd be a different story. But noses.
Guys on the thing looking at them or something, I don't know. Anyway, I'm only 19 years old, and I've got some problems with getting money for going to college.
Right.
And I think some of it has to do with just being a white man.
Why do you think that?
Well, I tried to go to this college in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yes.
And the guy told me that it's people like me that who have screwed up everything for their Indian, you know, culture and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
A guy told you that it's people like you that have screwed up everything for the Indian culture.
Yeah, white man. White man.
Well, I tell you, I'd pick another college quick if I was you.
Well, and he told me we wouldn't want you going here anyway.
Well,
I called him.
Then you certainly wouldn't want to go there, would you? Tell him to take his college and shove it.
It's stuff like that, and, you know, I can't get a loan because I don't have a job.
Well, see, that's because you don't have a job, not because you're not a black man.
Well, that's right.
It's because you don't have a job.
Anyway,
banks hate people who don't have jobs.
Well, that's another thing.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for the call. Are the ocean tides coming in heavier this morning? Is there an unusual amount of pressure? Do you feel it building in you? Go out and look at the moon. Howl at the moon. It'll make you feel better. Go out and yell at the moon. Ooh, howl at the moon. There's a big one up there this morning. And it's pressing on people. Can you feel it? On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? Nope. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
It's Mike in San Diego.
Hello, Mike. KOGO San Diego.
I picked up a little of Dreamland last night on I have a Songgene 803A.
Right.
And I heard something about the Clementine.
Yes.
Being something gone wrong with it or something.
That is correct.
I can't believe it.
I know, but it apparently is true. Something has gone wrong with Clementine, and it may not be able to continue its mission, or we really don't know what the status is. I'm going to get Richard Hoagland on. We'll find out what the deal is.
Yeah, I haven't heard a word on any of the news or anything about that.
That figures.
Yeah, and can I ask you about an advertisement you had on Dreamland last night?
Sure.
For your shirts?
Oh, yes.
Do you know what they look like generally?
Yeah, they're unbelievably beautiful. Those T-shirts have been created with a Tesla coil. It's absolutely amazing. They used a million-volt Tesla coil, and it is the artwork of, I'm really glad you asked, Dave Archer, who's done Star Trek, The Next Generation, and the Star Trek movies, and now he's got these Dreamland T-shirts.
Yeah, they sound great.
Yeah, they are.
Is there a picture on the Art Bell Dreamland one?
There is, yes.
Do you know what the picture is?
Well, it's a.
Are they just space scenes?
Yeah, it is. It's space scenes, but I mean they're utterly beautiful.
Okay, thanks, Art.
You can't go wrong. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna get me one.
All right, take care. Yeah, those are really neat. I'm glad he asked. Might as well give the number, huh? We don't advertise those here. We advertise them on Dreamland, but they are available for a limited time only. And on the first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Listen, two things I wanted to tell you real quick. The other day on public radio, they had a deal on crime, all right?
Yeah.
And what it amounted to is the fact that the greatest deterrent of crime is to arm the citizens with handguns. Okay?
Okay, where are you, in a tunnel or something?
It blew me away that they would even...
Hey, Bob? Bob?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm on a cellular phone.
Oh, it's hard to hear you over all the noise, Bob.
Okay. Well, I'll call you back.
All right,
time.
Good. You do that. Thank you.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 23rd of May, 1994.
The moon pressuring you, Pookie. Well, lunar pressure, is it? Well, that's what we're here for. We're a big escape valve in the night. Here's a fact, Mr. Bell, about the illegal immigrants. I believe we can all agree that if the influx of immigrants across the Mexican border continues, eventually the situation in Mexico will be transposed into the United States. At this point, the immigration will stop, since the streets in the U.S. will no longer be paved of gold. Americans are very generous people, but will be of no use to the immigrants after we destroy our own backyard. As for these fuzzy-wuzzies who approve of the illegal immigrant influx, I suggest they go to Mexico and solve the problem at its source. I believe you're correct in preventing the influx of the border and also delete some of the stupid laws from our books. But what happened to the NAFTA agreement? Was it not sold to us as a solution to this problem? I believe it's time for Mickey Cantor and his crew to get off their duffs and file a complaint with Mexico. Joe at KCMO in Kansas City. Okay, Joe. Well, I don't think, if NAFTA is going to eventually equalize the situation, I don't think anybody represented that it would occur quickly or certainly right away. And it's going to take many years, if at all, ever. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell. This is Jeremiah in Colorado.
Yes, Jeremiah. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to clarify something about you evolutionists, because you prove a point.
Here we go again. Don't you ever want to talk about anything else, Jeremiah?
Well, actually, I'm not like Charlie. See, I'm not a jack-of-all-trades and master of nothing. So I don't feel free to talk on all subjects.
Well, I mean, but any other one at all other than this one?
Nope. Absolutely none. Although I like computers.
All right. Well, what is it tonight?
Well, see, some people might have interpreted it that I was drilling Charlie. You know, like...
Drilling him?
Yeah.
Actually, most people rather thought it was just a shouting match without much consequence, Jeremiah.
Well, because the person on the other end was totally... he had no basis for his belief.
Jeremiah, you, both of you really had no apparent basis, and all you did was ask each other, challenge each other to explain this, explain that, and nobody explained anything.
I could explain things if I was given a chance to. He would never give me a chance to explain anything.
Well, he probably would say the same about you.
Well, anyways, like when he said a billion years ago, and I said, billion years? Billion years? It was only because the little evolutionary hypothesis keeps changing so fast, I was trying to make sure I was keeping up with the good old one, okay?
All right.
And another thing, if you ever could have another debate, please find someone who isn't just driven by their own ideology like he is.
Well, Jeremiah, you had your chance.
Well, please, could we have another one sometime?
Sometime.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Sometime, you know, when the mood strikes. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
It's on the Linda Thompson topic. Yeah, it would be a tragedy if it came to, you know, what you were mentioning, everyone up in arms. I think if it ever does come to that, it will be because everyone didn't do every single thing in their power legally and with the system to prevent that. You know, we still have representatives that we could call.
Well, that's right. It's not the first thing you do, you see. It's the last thing you do.
Exactly, yeah. And when all the letters to the editors have failed, when all the peaceful protests, there was a very large gathering in Florida that I was reading about, an American Rifleman, that was very successful. Again, very underreported in the mainstream press, obviously. But National Rifleman did report that they did get quite a sizable crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Linda Thompson is playing on a legitimate frustration that is being felt by a very large number of people. And I think we just need to reiterate the message over and over again that people need to call their representatives, and that contrary to what the media is saying, the crime bill is not yet fact. We can still possibly urge a Republican filibuster, so call Dole's office, call your Republican representatives. If they voted against the assault weapons ban, thank them very kindly and say, you know, thank you for voting against it, and here's one more thing you can do.
Yeah, I really think you're on the right track.
And certainly, even if someone voted for the assault weapons ban, still be nice, but express your anger. It is possible to be angry and yet be civil at the same time.
Well, if you're not, then they dismiss you as a nutcase, and that verifies their vote in their mind.
Definitely. And it reinforces all the stereotypes of gun owners as these, you know, beer-bellied, bearded idiots. And that's all you ever see in the editorial cartoons anymore.
That's all you ever see in the
newspapers or on TV is the negative stereotypes.
That's right. And if Linda Thompson actually were to do what she said she was going to do, that act also would reinforce everything they're doing.
Definitely. Yeah. Do everything in your power. Call the shows like this one, fax, write, and follow up your letters with calls to your representatives. Do it, folks. Every single one of you. Join organizations like the NRA. Even if you don't think they're doing everything in their power, join another group that you do feel is doing more. Like,
yeah, I'm really, really ticked off at the NRA, but I am a member.
Yeah. Likewise.
All right, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Portland. All right, KEX. Thank you very much for the call. Really upset with the NRA. But I'm still a member, and I'm still a member because I still rationalize the same exact way I did before, and that is they are the only organization large enough with enough clout and money right now to get the job done. So I continue to try to work from within, even if they won't let me interview Wayne LaPierre. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. Max Libertarian from California, hearing you on KSRO.
Yes, Max.
Just like to respond to Leonard talking about the Illuminati.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'd like to speak for a responsible opposing viewpoint. I myself am a Discordian.
A Discordian?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I support chaos and moderation.
Chaos in moderation?
Absolutely.
What is chaos in moderation? It's like my radio program.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Controlled chaos and controlled entropy. I think those are two of the greatest tools you could ever have. And boy, do we need it these days. I mean, what the Discordian's first law is, imposition of order equals escalation of chaos. And boy, I seem to see it happening everywhere. The more the people in charge try to get a handle on things.
Well, maybe it's the other way around.
Imposition of chaos equals escalation of order?
No, the escalation of chaos equals the imposition of order.
Well, boy, there sure seems to be a lot of order attempting to be implemented.
And there's plenty of chaos, too.
Yeah, it's sort of
so it's
of
a chicken, it's a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah, it's sort of the watermelon seed theory. The harder they try to get a hold on things, the faster it squirts out. And just as a word to the Patriot movement out there who are going to be relying on guns for defense, well, Alvin Toffler once said that power is a combination of three things. He probably wasn't the first to say it. It's wealth, knowledge, and violence. Of those three, information, knowledge, is the most valuable. So to all you folks out there, I say not only keep your powder dry, keep your notebook computer charged, and your email scrambled.
Well, that's it. Yeah, keep your email scrambled. That's a good one. Fight the Clipper chip. Well, let's just go on to the next call. On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. Going once. Going twice. Going three times. What a waste of money. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning from Seattle.
Well, hello there.
I'd like to open with a song that I think I just heard a little bit ago on the radio. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Somebody just went up through the roof in Denver.
I can imagine. On the topic of Linda and her fanatics,
yes,
they sound like a bunch of disgruntled postal workers that I think will jeopardize my right to bear and keep arms.
Well, it could certainly affect it, couldn't it?
I think the government should step in before anything happens, because it will happen.
It is my view, too, but the question is, when should it be done? You know, if they go rushing in after her right now, then they have martyred her. And that's a consideration. I mean, it is a political consideration, isn't it?
Well, I think they should at least go and take her guns away, because she's proven herself mentally unstable, therefore should not have the right to have one.
Well, again... Take her guns away.
Tough.
You know,
it's tough. It's
no,
tough.
That's not going to do any good. That's more martyrdom somehow or another. And I really don't know how they can handle it. Put yourself. It's an interesting perspective. If you were the government and you heard all this was being planned, what would you do?
I would prepare for it, for one thing.
With what? Force? What else? Yes, force. So, you know, then and then you would not stop all of this before it.
That's what I think I'd try to do, though, is nip it in the bud beforehand, if possible. Either sitting down and talking with her and demand that she get on the air and call off her little march to Washington, at least an arm march, because it's just going to backfire. They're going to stomp her into the ground, and she's going to screw up the rights of everybody that owns a gun, because Sarah Beatty is just probably drooling with the thought of this happening.
I know.
So they better think twice.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye. I agree with that. But if you put yourself in the position of the government, even this one, what would you do? I mean, if you go in and stop it or take some drastic action now, you martyr her, and then you've really got a situation. So, but and yet you've got to stop it before it really gets out of hand. So I don't know. I'm really worried about this because I'm trying to sit and think of the way out. You know, in her way of thinking, if she were to change her mind or modify what she said, it'd be eating a lot of crow. People would charge, oh, what a sellout or something like that. So her inclination probably would not be to do that or not be to modify all this. But to go through with it, in my mind, is unthinkable. You know, it's kind of like the atomic bomb. The best use of the bomb is to keep the peace. And we have the bomb, and they have the bomb, and nobody uses the bomb because everybody knows what that would mean. And so it is with most force. The most effective use of it is perhaps its implied threat, but not its actual use. That's catastrophic. On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Dr. Democrat.
Well, well, well.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I certainly like Warren Christopher's idea on most favored nations with China.
What is that?
He wants to have a compromise and take a middle ground.
What would that be?
He wants to renew most favored nations, but he wants to put sanctions on a couple of Chinese products to send a message.
Well, wait a minute. That isn't the message the president said he would send with his executive order, Doc. He laid out seven very specific requirements that China has not met. Now, does that mean the president is going to change his policy?
You're not completely right. There was two mandatory requirements. China met those. There was five others that they're making progress on, but they haven't come far enough.
Well, that's silliness, Doc. It's gone the other way. The repression is greater. The crackdown on the people is worse.
Well, they just released a bunch of the Tiananmen Square prisoners. And the thing of it is, there's a lot at stake here. It's not only trade.
Yeah, I know the president's credibility, and no matter what he does, it's going to go down the drain.
If he renews it or he don't renew it, he's going to get criticism from either side of the issue.
Yep.
So if you take a middle of the ground, in other words, if we put sanctions on chopsticks and Chinese checkers, it might send a message that, look, China, you've made progress, but you need to make more.
You know what Bill Clinton's big trouble is, Doc? He can't keep his mouth shut. And every time he opens it, he gets himself in trouble.
Not really, because you see,
really?
What you got here is North Korea. Now, you know, Art, that North Korea just purchased 40 submarines from the Soviet Union.
Yes, I know.
That can be converted into nuclear power.
Well, you missed it a little. It can be converted, Doc, into dispensing missiles.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to have China on our side to solve this problem. We don't want to have a war with China. So there's a lot at stake here. So Clinton's smart enough that he has to deal with China, because if he doesn't renew most favored nations, they're not going to cooperate with North Korea.
Well, they may not. You mean they're not going to cooperate with us, and they may not cooperate with us even if we do renew it. What China does not seem...
The Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in the Middle East, number one. And I think he's doing an excellent job. He's kept us out of war. I think we will have a Haiti solution. They got us out of Somalia, even though there was mistakes made. We're out of there. He's working on Bosnia. So at the end of the day in 96, I think Clinton's going to get high marks for foreign policy. But anyhow, I want to talk about Ted Kennedy. I think the passing of Jackie O is going to guarantee Ted Kennedy's reelection. He gave a wonderful eulogy yesterday. And I think the people of Massachusetts are going to respect that, and they're going to be reminded of all the good things the Kennedy family has done through the years.
Well, that isn't why they reelect him.
Why is that?
Well, they reelect him because he's a dynasty, and he's always reelected.
All right, but listen, the political experts say that this is going to be the toughest race Ted Kennedy's ever had, and he's not a shoo-in. But that was before Jackie O passed away. And, you know, people like photo opportunities and symbolism, so I believe that...
I know you like that, Doc.
Well, I think this is going to guarantee his election anyhow. And another thing, Clinton is up in the polls. He went from 48 to 51.
Wow.
And did you see the polls on Paula Jones?
No. What did they say?
57% believe Bill Clinton.
Now, Doc, when did that come?
Yesterday on the CNN... Gallup poll.
Last time I saw, Doc, more people than not did not believe the president. They also didn't believe Paula Jones.
No, well, the latest poll came out yesterday. I'm a news junkie like you, and it said 57% believe Bill Clinton and 27% believe Paula Jones. Now, that 27% is your conservative base.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense that the conservatives would want to believe Paula Jones.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Well, I don't know who I believe. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this. The president plans to, I believe, claim some kind of immunity from this. And it is an interesting issue. That is to say, whether a president in office, for whenever the deed was committed, ought to be able to be sued, or whether it should wait until after he leaves office. Free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Ed from Alaska, Cajun High Country.
Hello, Ed.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that Charlie and those other guys, I don't know what planet they came from, but they need to go back to it. I keep hearing all this thing about gun control and revolutions and overthrowing the government and stuff like that. And I believe in a political system. I vote. I do that, but I don't see it doing us any good. I think this nation went wrong when it lost its moral fiber. And we did that when we put Bill Clinton in office.
Well, you think a revolution would bring back our moral fiber?
Well, I don't call for that. I see it happening, and I've prepared for it. I think we should exhaust our political system, but I don't see it happening.
Are you going to bring back morality with some new law, some new dictatorship? Is that going to bring back morality?
No. All I'm saying is...
How do you get it back, then?
Well, you do what you can politically, and if that fails... then you just wait for the government, I guess, to make their play. And evidently, you know, Randy Weaver and Waco and that old man in California, when they busted in his door and blew his brains out, then you got kids shotgunning their parents, and they can't even come to a verdict on that. I mean, things are just kind of flipping upside down here, and people are seeing that, and the people with good sense kind of keep it to themselves and just play the political system and watch it go on. And then you got people like Charlie... That man ain't got good sense. You know, he talks about gun toters. I own quite a few guns.
No, me too. Listen, I've got to run. Thank you very much for the call. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back with more from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 23rd, 1994.
On the toll-free line, rather, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. This is a socialist from Kansas City.
Kansas City. Yes, indeed.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine.
Hey, listen, this Linda Thompson stuff, these guys are boring. I can't believe that. I'm not sure whether they're gun nuts or religious nuts. But they're totally out of touch with reality, and it's boring. They're stupid. You ought to move on. You don't agree?
No.
No.
I mean, I don't agree that they're boring. They're anything but. Some of it is dangerous. Some of it might be downright stupid. But the complaints are very legitimate.
Oh, come on, Mr. Bill.
Mr. Caller. They're
taking our guns away. I don't know about that Waco thing.
You don't?
Well, there was a mistake made. I think they were up against.
What about the Idaho thing?
Oh, I better ahead and call me on that. I haven't read about it.
No, I haven't read about it, huh? Randy Weaver, you don't know about that? You're not even well enough informed that you know what happened up in Idaho, you mean?
I haven't been following it. He's been armed up there for quite a while, hasn't he?
Randy Weaver?
Yeah.
Well, they accused him, let me catch you up a little bit, all that was over a shotgun that was supposedly about an eighth of an inch too short. They shot Randy Weaver's wife while she was holding her child, shot her through the head.
Is he the tax protester?
No.
Oh, I recall the case you're talking about, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do now. That's several months ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's some overreaction.
Overreaction.
These agencies.
Yeah.
You know, one person, two persons, three persons. They're trying to make more money. You know, they want to be the prosecutor or something like that, and they overreact. You know, they're trying to make a name. There's no government-wide conspiracy to take people's guns away. You know, that's like Waco. I think that was an overreaction. They knew those people were heavily armed, and they knew that they were breaking the law.
Just a little mistake burned 80-something people
to
death.
Well,
a little
Koresh,
mistake.
It got
mistake.
Out of hand, but Koresh, you know, he takes some responsibility, probably 80-20 or 70-30, you know.
Really?
The first rate was, listen, Mr. I called, I hope you don't mind me changing over here, but this, something's been bothering me I want to talk to you about. I don't really understand how this, how our Federal Reserve System works, you know, the independence of the Fed. But I do know that our economy was starting to pick up, and people were starting to get jobs again, and now they've shut this economy down with these high interest rates. Well, no, they haven't shut it down. They controlled it. Now, Reagan and your philosophy of laissez-faire government interference in the marketplace, I don't know where this all sets with your people's ideology. And what is the purpose? We didn't have any inflation. Why are they turning down the heat when we don't have any inflation?
Well, it's a preventative move. It's like preventative medicine. Even though there is no apparent inflation, they want to keep it that way. Now, it's a slightly controversial move, but the Fed's move lately with respect to managing the economy have been pretty good.
Okay, if I might make a point, they want to keep, the inflation wasn't going up. What was happening was the unemployment rate was going down. Here's a perfect example of the ruling elite controlling unemployment. See, if they can keep so many unemployed, then they can keep asking $4.25 for a job, see, or $4.50 or $5 or $5.50 or $5.75. See, they keep all these people willing to work for low wages if they can keep so many millions of people unemployed. If you believe in this laissez-faire...
Well, the president that you so admire commented on the raising of the interest rates the other day by the Fed that he didn't think it would affect the economy at all. That's your idol. So there you go.
Oh, I don't... Well, you've got a moderate capitalist there that you're calling my idol. You know, he's a lot better off than Reagan, I must admit, but he's a moderate capitalist. You know, he isn't really... Oh, down there for the downtrodden, you know, he's for the ruling
elite. You got to say ruling elite.
Well, he, what can I say, Mr. Bell?
You've said it all. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, the ruling elite. That's what you always want to say, the ruling elite. Would you like to do, put a homeless person in charge? A homeless person running the country? Well, yeah, Mr. Bell, why'd it be better off if we had a homeless person running the country? He could take his decisions on the road. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I was just thinking about that show you had on Coast to Coast with John Lear last year.
Sir, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Sorry. Do you remember that program you had with John Lear last
year? I've done a number of programs with John Lear, sir.
I think it was the last one on Coast to Coast, though.
Yes.
A gentleman that was involved in the Dent Waters incident called us.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he made it known that he had some audio tapes of a hypnotic regression session.
Yes, I recall that, and I still haven't seen or heard of those tapes yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened with that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing yet.
Okay, just wondering.
Thank you. No, don't know a thing about it yet. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello there. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Dave from Missoula, Montana.
Hello, Dave.
I guess I'd be considered under the Generation X, and I'm getting kind of frustrated in this whole place. And I just kind of would like to hear some people reinstate my faith in America. And I don't know, all these people I see coming into the United States from Mexico, and I'm kind of jealous. I'd like to switch places with them. I spent some time in Mexico this past spring, and I don't know, it seems like such a nice place to be compared to the United States anymore. There's so many regulations and controls they're trying to put over us, and I don't know. I don't want to be frustrated. I like this.
Why would you think that that Mexico is a paradise of government compared to the United States? It is not. Mexico is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Mexico is ruled by bribery. You do business by bribery. If you're frustrated here and don't like this, you'd really hate that.
Yeah, I admit I wasn't really into the government when I was down there. I was just kind of I mingled with the local people. I was in Ensenada, actually, and it just seemed like a fairly carefree way of life. No one really bothered you. You could just kind of, you could make it if you wanted to, or if not, you could just, I mean, I come from a family that is fairly well off. My father is a doctor, my mother's a nurse, and I was raised to be a professional person, and I've come to the conclusion that I like to work and see something accomplished by what I do. And down there, I could tell that, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. I felt very free for the short time that I was there compared to up here. All the news and I haven't been listening to talk radio very much.
Do you speak Spanish?
Un poco, just a little bit.
Well, maybe it was that you didn't understand enough to listen to their news because Mexico's going through political unrest.
Actually, right after I left is when the assassination occurred in Tijuana.
And as a matter of fact, NBC is going to do, thanks for the call, a big piece tonight on the unrest going on in Mexico. Now, you may have felt relatively free, but I think that's just because you weren't hearing the news. There is a lot less relative freedom in Mexico, not more, less. You can go anywhere and ignore the news and ignore everything that's going around you, on around you, and I suppose feel relatively free. But I really am, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot more freedom here than there is there. I don't exactly know where people get these ideas. Let's see. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Sam from Wasilla, Alaska.
Hello, Sam. How's Wasilla?
Oh, cooking.
That'd be K-E-N-I.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's the first time I've gotten a chance to get on your line. Thanks much. Your buddies, Dr. Democrat and the Socialist from Kansas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They remind me of guys that'd be willing to throw into a tiger cage and bit by bit they would feed themselves to appease it.
Yeah, they might. Why that poor tiger, that hungry tiger I need to share? Here, have some more of my left arm.
Yeah, be willing to give up anything and everything.
Yep.
Listening to, Linda, of course, I share a lot in heart and spirit with what she's saying, but I think that what we're really seeing is just total. We're at a critical mass where we're about to implode on ourselves. I mean, you look at the Federal Reserve, you look at the Clintons, you look at everything going about, and it's almost at a point just to jump ship and each man for himself. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen, only because. You know, you have educational system just falling to pieces and all that. And I don't know what to say other than just Americans to try and keep as much together and try to keep the faith in the country. But there's got to be something bigger and better, which, you know, that's got to be God Almighty. But, you know, that's where we're all left with.
All right, sir. Well, it's not such a bad thing to be left with. Thank you very much. The wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. It's the Bronx Brother.
Hello.
How you doing? You know the moon is almost full, right?
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's getting through this morning.
I know.
They let us all out.
I know.
How you been?
I'm just fine.
Good. Enjoying the show.
I love these kinds of mornings because all of you make me feel so moderate.
Well, the moon affects us in a special way.
I know.
But, I was just calling to say hello, and, you know, Jeremiah, you know, there's evidence of evolution in this world. Whether or not the scientists are right and correct, there is so much evidence of evolution. Our own lives, our own selves, the human being, living beings represent evolution. If there wasn't evolution, we'd come out.
But what about our creativity being evidence of our creator?
Well, you know, right, you know, okay, right. the art with the artist. There is no work of art without an artist behind it.
Yes, Darren Isaacs. Why is he not evidence of a creator?
Yeah, you know, it's right. And I don't think, like, you know, like I sort of have agreed with you on the opinion that just because there's evolution doesn't rule out a creator. Maybe the creator works through evolution.
Well, maybe the creator threw the lightning bolt that smashed into the biological soup that became the polywogs that became the people.
Boom, right. And you got to remember, you know, science has destroyed a lot of the old myths.
Yes, it has.
You know, at one time they threw babies with epilepsy into the fire and burned them because they thought they were demon-possessed.
Yes, mm-hmm.
People who were paranoid schizophrenics were stoned and burned at the stake because they thought they were demon-possessed.
Very good point.
Bada-bing. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the polls on Paula Jones, but I'm sure Paula Jones has seen the poll on President Clinton.
Well, maybe we'll decide this whole issue by poll. I've got to run. Thank you very much.
Poll position.
Yeah, maybe that's how we ought to decide everything now in America, by the latest poll. We could simply have a new branch of government that would be a pollster. Just pick one of the major pollsters and they would become a new branch of government, and they would simply ask a question, and however that poll came out is what would happen. Hello there on the wild card line. You're on the air.
Is this Art?
It is, yes.
Okay, let me get my radio away from my head there.
No, just plain turn it off, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, I was calling in. I heard a lady call earlier this evening on the... I'm listening at a KFAR in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was talking about seeing all these foreign military personnel in the United States.
All the helicopters.
Helicopters,
black choppers
in uniform,
that's right.
Wearing blue berets.
UN troops everywhere, closing in, tanks on trains, yep.
Well, what I was going to say was, we have some of the largest training areas in the world, and a lot of the countries send their troops over here to be trained by our professional military personnel.
True.
Because they can get the best training in the world here.
I know. I trained with a lot of them when I was in the Air Force.
I'm a vet, too. A disabled vet, but still a vet.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of Canadians up here in Alaska, here at Allison Air Force Base. They're building them a hangar out there.
What about those Russians?
Well, the only Russians I saw were the ones that came over for the Lend-Lease reunion.
Oh, yes.
I believe that was last summer.
Yes.
And one of those boys gave me a...
So they've gone home peacefully?
As far as I know.
They didn't try to take over anything while they were there?
Well, I think they tried to look up some of the older ladies that they met over here in World War II when they were picking up...
You mean liaisons?
Well, I wouldn't call it that. I would say it's old friendships.
I see.
But anyway, I was going to say, and a lot of the military helicopters out here at Fort Wainwright are painted a dark green, and I'm sure that they look black at night in bad lighting.
I'm sure they do.
And if they're on training maneuvers, they might not have their lights on.
Well, that's right. All right, sir, I've got to run. Thank you very much for yet another helicopter call. And on the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Phoenix.
Well, good morning, sir.
Well, Art, I called you, and you said I had my finger up my nose. No, I had three teeth pulled, and the roots all was still in there, so I had a mouthful of gauze.
When?
A couple of weeks ago.
And so you called me when you had a mouthful of gauze?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, I was listening to your show. It was interesting. I didn't know I sounded that bad. Really?
Hmm.
But, hey, I'm glad you're on FYI. KFYI, I'm sorry. I'm on pain medication.
So. Are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you're calling me on pain medication.
Well, I'm all right.
What are you going to be calling me from an oxygen tent next?
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not, too.
my God, I never thought about that. But, hey, about this Linda Thompson.
Yes?
You know,
we got to do something. And I think she's a little bit overboard, but she's well in her rights. You know, people who don't want to get involved in
No. She isn't. No, she isn't well within her rights. I don't think you can call for that and say you're within your rights. You're not within your rights to call for a hanging congressman.
No, I'm not for that. That's why I think she's a little bit overboard.
Well, a little bit overboard. You're not well. You said she's well within her rights to call for that. No, she's not.
No, call for a protest.
Well, yeah. Armed. That isn't what you... Oh, armed?
Yes.
Armed? To what end? Shoot? You mean to shoot people?
No, no.
No,
absolutely
no?
Absolutely not.
Well, then why would you want to be armed?
Well, just say, hey, you know,
we have the right of peaceful protest in this country. We don't have to carry guns to establish that right.
Well, it kind of really brings the message through.
It does.
It would to me.
Well, yes, it does. But when you threaten to use those guns and you advertise ahead of time, telegraph your punch, you're going to use guns, you're going to kill people, you're going to hang people. No.
Yeah, I agree there. That's wrong.
All right. Well, then we agree. Thanks for the call. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Don, out in Palm Springs, KPSI.
Yes, sir.
I was pleasantly surprised Sunday night. I was looking for Dreamland, just trying anything to find it.
Yes.
And I found out KNWZ out here.
That's right.
That's great.
That's news, yes.
Crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get to listen to it that much because I fell asleep, but it was great that it was there.
I'm glad you found it.
I got three quick things.
Going to have to be quick.
Yeah, they'll be quick. The crime. Do you read Money Magazine at all?
Yes.
Did you see that article on the crime?
Yes.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah, fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I wanted to get it to you in case you didn't have it.
No, I've got it.
The three-page facts.
I've got it. Thank you. We're near the news here. What else?
Okay. And also, you know, I'd like you to talk about how we can buy gold to use in case of emergencies.
Buying gold is a damn good idea.
Yeah, I've never really heard anybody talk about it.
All right, I'll talk. I will talk about it.
And also, I've heard you guys talk about Linda a lot tonight.
Yes.
And I'd like to know if there's anything new going on, so if you could talk about that.
No, nothing I'm aware of.
Okay, because, you know, we didn't get the first 2 hours out here, so I wasn't sure if something came up.
Oh, I see. No, nothing I know of.
Just a topic tonight, huh?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are concerned about it.
Yeah, well, I am too.
All right.
I'm just heading for the hills myself. I'm staying out of the herd deal.
All right, off to the hills with you. Thank you very much for the call, and we'll be back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Good morning, everybody. A little bit after 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Don't know what it is where you are, but it's the middle of the night here. And the moon is full, and we can feel it. And on the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Art. This is Sean calling from Last Best Place.
Missoula, Montana?
You got it.
All right.
Well, I'm not exactly in Missoula, but anyways, one thing I wanted to talk about was my friend Dave that called up tonight.
Dave?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember Dave.
Well, anyways, he was calling about saying how he wanted to move to Mexico.
Oh, now I remember Dave, yes.
Yeah, and I really don't necessarily disagree with him.
Why?
Why
is Mexico better?
Well, Mexico's, you can live a lot cheaper than you can in the United States. I mean, I'm working really hard for what I have here, trying to pay my rent, trying to pay my bills, trying to pay my taxes, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere.
Well, where are you going to get income in Mexico?
I can open up a business down there a lot cheaper than I could ever think about opening a business in the United States right now.
Well, that's probably true. But the standard of living in Mexico is much lower.
The standard of living is much lower, but depending on what your income is. If you have some money, say, like, For instance, I make $10,000 a year here in the United States.
That's below the poverty line.
Right, but that's working full-time, all the time.
Well, what makes you think you could make even that much in Mexico?
Well, if I had that, if I had the basic amount of income that I have here in the United States and went down to Mexico...
Well, sure, yeah, that's...
a lot better.
That's true, but if wishes were fishes, I mean, you wouldn't. You know, the jobs there are not as plentiful as they are here.
No, but
you
it's
know, you have not noticed, Sean... too many people breaking out of the United States and running across the border into the middle of traffic in Mexico to get entrance.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I mean, a lot of people want to go down there and make some money.
Well, then they could do that. Nothing stops you.
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. It's a lot easier to start a business in Mexico than it is in the United States.
Well, when you get there, try and hear me on KDWN. They come in down in Mexico very well.
K-Don?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, I used to get K-Don.
I get a lot of mail from Mexico. Do you know why, Sean?
Why?
Because the telephone system is so bad in Mexico, people can't call me.
Right. Well, I mean, I would love to keep my jobs here in the United States.
Well,
I
Sean...
I would love to do that. But
if wishes were fishes.
Well, if Sean. Wishes were fishes, yes, but exactly. I mean, it's really hard these days to keep a job in the United States. I mean, look at the EPA, what they're saying, what we cannot do and cannot do, and what we can do, and then look at
my guess,
workman's comp.
Sean, my guess would be the EPA is not stopping you from making $15,000 or $20,000 or even $30,000 if you're capable of it.
Well, if we're capable of it, but I mean, it's like, okay, say, for instance, if you're a logger and you went out there logging and all of a sudden the EPA comes in there and says...
Are you a logger?
No, I'm not a logger, no. But I understand that aspect of logging. And here in Montana, we've had a lot of people that have been losing their jobs here because of EPA...
That's true.
Stuff, you know, stuff that they're saying, you know, well, come in here and you can log this and you can't log this, you know, we're going to cut off this.
Yes.
And it's the same way with different kinds of the manufacturing jobs that are left in the United States. I mean...
Well, Sean, I'm out of time.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Hasta la vista, Sean. let's see. Wildcard line 3, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Kurt calling from KVI.
Hello, Kurt.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I certainly hope that September the 19th is not a full moon like tonight.
It is, though.
It is?
Yeah. Somebody called earlier and said September the 19th is a full moon.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, maybe it does.
Also, I wanted to ask you, what was it exactly that Hillary Clinton had said? I hadn't heard anything before.
She did not say anything. What we have here is the White House has put up a balloon. They do that. They leak things out in order to get a reaction. And this they're going to get a reaction to this one. It is that the White House operatives are saying that Hillary Clinton may indeed secede the president, may run for president.
But you mean run against Bill Clinton?
No. No. That's an interesting idea. But no, to run, in other words, when he leaves office, whenever that may be.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So you mean, like, instead of Al Gore?
Yes.
Wow.
What do you think about that idea?
well, I'm sure Charlie would vote for her.
Well, I'm sure he would. The question is, would you?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No way.
What do you think? What do you think Hillary Clinton's America would be like?
Well, it'd be pretty scary.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
It'd be a strange place. Close your eyes and try and imagine America after, say, 7 years of Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Wildcard line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Arne. I'm calling from Reno.
Reno. Yes.
And I have a news blackout I want to ask you about, and then another news item. Let's see, 2 Sundays ago on our ABC News, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock in the morning, they did a blackout, a news blackout, about a city or small town in South Africa, where the whole town was burned up by the federal troops.
I hadn't heard about this.
They touched off, the federal troops took a whole bunch of tires, put them on fire, gathered up all the people, I guess, screaming and hollering, threw them in the fire. Now, it was rumored to me that they were Zulus.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah, well, it was a news blackout, and I haven't heard anything else about it from NPR or anything. It was, and in fact, there was even an eyewitness account on the news talking about what he saw, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. But that ran about three times between those 3 hours. And I thought it was kind of very strange.
Well, there are stories like that that run and then get dropped for whatever reason. And one way to combat that and to get information is to get shortwave.
Yeah. And another thing was all today I had heard about this in England. It's like a bacteria called either Staphylococcus or Streptococcus in the medical, one of the medical universities. They've had 6 people die of this very strange, they call it a mutated bacteria of the Staphylococcus or Streptococcus. And it starts off like gangrene.
Right,
and
gangrene.
Within 24 hours, it spreads all over your body.
Sounds bad.
And the people die.
Oh, gee.
And
sounds like
that
the
was
stand.
All over the news today
all right.
on ABC.
Really?
Uh-huh.
On ABC Radio?
ABC News on KOH.
On KOH, all right.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you. Anybody else able to confirm that one? No, I hadn't heard about that. A new virus, huh? Of some kind. I did, oh, by the way, I saw the rest of the stand. I had taped the stand, and my assessment of it is that I liked the first episode much better than the succeeding episodes. I thought the first night was staggeringly well done. I thought the successive nights degenerated somewhat. It was nevertheless a good story, and I enjoyed it. But I think it could have been done. Well, maybe not. I mean, if you accept it for what it was, entertainment, then it's fine. But the first night sort of almost went beyond just sheer entertainment, and it degenerated from that point. But the first night, I thought, was incredible. And that's the way it could happen. Make no mistake about it, to kind of punctuate this last call. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
From Missoula, Montana, calling on KGBO.
Yes, sir.
First of all, the that lady that just called about the disease that's killing people.
Yes.
I just heard it. I've heard it 2 or 3 times on the news on the top of the hour during your program.
Okay. What news do you run there in Missoula?
I'm trying to think. I don't know what the network is. It's one of the network news.
Okay, well, it is not a surprising story. Our own CDC has been telling us, look out, because things like this are a-coming.
Scary.
It is scary. And if you saw The Stand, did you?
No, I did not.
Uh-huh. Well,
don't watch much TV.
I see. Well, I don't either, but that's one that I happened to catch because I read the book and I loved it. And it played on exactly this theme, or that a biological menace got loose and literally wiped out the world. Could happen.
Good timing. I mean, they put it on the air right at the right time, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I got something else. In the Missoulian for today, 24th, there's an article on the front page, UN Works for Global Gun Control. Have you heard of this?
No. What does it say, roughly?
So quietly that even the gun lobby hasn't noticed, the United Nations is beginning to set its sights on global gun control. That's the first paragraph. UN Disarmament Commission has adopted a working paper, blah, blah, blah. They're basically trying to worldwide control.
Yeah. You know, my mama used to tell me when I'd put a whole bunch of food in front of me that my eyes were bigger than my stomach. Your mom ever tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I'd say to the UN. If they think they're going to disarm the world, they can't even get control of little bitty countries where they're messing around. Not even little bitty ones and little bitty wars. And what do they think they're going to do? Come take our guns? That's a laugh.
Well, the way I look at it is they have been a laugh for so long, but if they are really going to get serious, and Clinton and the other elites in the U.S. are going to work towards that too, this country can change that laughing stock into a power, and that's what scares me.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, but even Clinton's having second thoughts about participating in the UN adventures these days.
Well,
they made a comment
today. Tomorrow he'll be all behind it. He can't keep on the subject.
Yeah, well, you've got a good point there, sir. Thank you very much. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Mike from Phoenix.
Hi, Mike. You're going to have to speak up. You're
okay,
kind of weak.
What I was calling about was to say that I think that when they do come to take the guns, people will turn them over. This country has basically been raised to respect law and order, and it's difficult to go against the government, and it's difficult to go against the laws. What are people going to do, fight police officers if they come to take the guns? I don't think many of them will. They're going to look at their kids and their job and their financial situation, and they're going to say, well, we've got no choice.
You are mostly correct. But if they ever actually get to confiscating the guns, there are enough people that will fight so that I believe that it will not happen. I do not believe that will happen.
It's happening slowly. See, if you go to a gun store right now, I own a Glock 17. I told you the other day I bought some SKSs.
You're right.
And I already had some. That Glock 17 I bought, I can't even find a magazine for anymore here in Phoenix. They're all bought up because people are worried about that 10-round maximum capacity of the magazine.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can't get it. You can't get it because of the law of supply and demand, not a law that says you can't buy a magazine.
No, but it's also made the gun manufacturers nervous to where they don't, if it's possible that they could impose a ban effective immediately. It hasn't happened that way in the past, but they could do that. So the gun manufacturers are not, as far as what the guy told me at the gun stores, I don't know if it's true, but he says that they're not manufacturing any more magazines because they don't want to be stuck with a big
stock
inventory of useless merchandise.
Well, the gun manufacturers have never had it better. They're selling out right now.
Oh, I agree, but So what if I've got, I bought five SKSs, I already had two, I've got my Glock, I've got a few other handguns. If I can't get ammunition or if I can't get magazines or spare parts, what good are they?
Well, that's right. All right.
That's what I'm saying. It's happening step by step, and people aren't really aware.
All right, but the fact is, wait a minute, it's not happening. The only thing that's happening is that all of this stuff is selling out. You're saying it's happening. It's not happening.
No,
the government hasn't banned it.
What I mean is they're getting more support. The NRA's been ineffective of late. Bob Dole caved in on the Brady bill after saying that he wouldn't.
I know.
And then the next day, all of a sudden, he changed his mind.
I know.
This is the last draw. We're not accepting any more.
Well, a pox on Bob Dole. All right. Thank you. A pox on Bob Dole for that. But to translate it to it's already happening, they're taking the guns, they're not. Let's be fair, and let's not rush to judgment and say things that simply are not yet true. Maybe it will be. If it will, there's going to be a clash, isn't there? They know that. They must know that. I'm convinced they know that. Banning the importation or manufacture of assault rifles, ridiculous as it is not yet the terrible thing that everybody's fearing. It may become that. We'll have to wait and see, and there's going to be trouble if it does. I am convinced that it will not get to that. They may try, and I'm not saying that some don't have that agenda. I just don't think it's going to come to that. Toll-free line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
Well, then, welcome back.
And hard to get through to you.
Yes.
I just want to wish you luck in your new ventures with your Dreamland and your one at home. How does your wife like to have you home there all the time? You don't have to go away at night.
It's worked out very well, thank you. Would I rather drive 120 miles? No.
Oh, no, you'd rather stay home.
Yes.
You can walk outside, like you said, and use your little telephone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And how's your little son like it? I bet he does, too, that you're home.
He loves Brump.
I guess I have the brochures on some of them. I've been reading it up when I get my Nevada magazine about Brump.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. The moon is bright, but I didn't go outside, so I'm not howling. I didn't go out to look at it.
Well, you can howl at it from the inside if you want.
Okay, then. Okay.
Oh, sure.
But I was going to say, I'm not worried about the things of the world tonight. But you were talking about that baby food.
Oh, yes.
Maybe they're buying it up and take it to the starving people over in Africa, the babies and the mothers who are starving.
Well, they don't need to sneak in the middle of the day and do that.
I know they don't.
Or night.
But you never know what they might be doing, though.
Well, that's right. It could be something totally devious, too.
Yes, yes, it could. I remember, it's been quite some time ago, you talked about those helicopters. But it's been at least 3 months or two that they were flying over here at what time? This is St. Helena, Napa County.
They fly over St. Helena?
They did one night.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's quite some time ago, though. I haven't seen anything since.
Scares me.
And they're dark.
Dark?
They're not green. They're black.
Even black.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I've got a break. I've got to go.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 23rd of May, 1994.
Here I am again. The moon is full and getting, just about full anyway, and getting fuller by the second. And I suppose we'll be in for yet another night of this tonight. It's kind of fun, though. I enjoy it when it's either very rough or very weird. That's what talk radio is all about. So whatever it is on any given night is what it is. I read this because so many people are sending me the same thing. You should consider adding a fax modem to your computer. This would allow you to continue receiving faxes, but they would become a computer document, which could be read and then deleted without incurring the fax paper expense. Yes, I know. The reason I have one already, not to worry, the reason that doesn't work is because I use faxes right away. And obviously, when I'm doing the program, I don't have time to sit here going through faxes that are saved in computer memory and then dumping them. There just isn't that time. I've got to have hard copies. There's almost no way around it. So I, too, have thought of that idea and discarded it because of the hard copy problem. I've really got to have an immediate hard copy. And so I don't know what to do about that. We continue to fell trees by the hour as the faxes come in. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello, Art. This is Jeff in Bellevue. How are you doing tonight?
Just fine, Jeff.
Yes, the moon is quite full tonight, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a couple things. I guess the pressure might be on you. A couple times you may have slipped under the pressure of the moon. The flower company sells carnations, right?
Miniature carnations.
Okay, yeah. It happened right after the Gold Rose commercial and kind of mentioned that they sold roses.
Oh.
So I wasn't quite sure.
They don't. And
they
maybe
don't.
I'm cracking. Yes, yeah, so they sell miniature carnations, which, by the way, look just like miniature roses.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pick some up for my mother. Her birthday was yesterday.
They're beautiful.
Also, on the magazine issue that the gentleman had brought up earlier.
Yes.
Underneath the new people crime bill that we have, they also said that magazines that hold more than 10 rounds are considered
correct.
Weapons.
Considered weapons?
They're considered weapons.
I consider them all weapons.
Well, no, the magazine, empty by itself, if it holds more than 10 bullets.
I suppose even empty, you could club somebody to death with one of them.
You could probably cut someone really bad with one of those Glock plastic weapons as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much tonight.
Thank you for the call. I hope I said miniature carnations. I usually say miniature carnations. Maybe I had roses on the mind. Doesn't matter. They're miniature carnations, and there are zillions of them. And they do. They look just like, actually, like miniature roses. In a way, they're a little more delicate. You know, there's sort of more to them, but they're smaller. On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. This is Roger and Mesa.
Hello, Roger and Mesa.
You guys are over on KFYI now here.
So it would seem.
Yeah. Interesting story here that happened to me, as a matter of fact, yesterday. I've got several handguns, and a couple months back I needed a little extra cash, so I had an older Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum that I pawned, you know.
Oh, yes, and now you have to fill out papers to get it back.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, I went to get it out today. I gave my money, and I have to wait 5 days to get my 357 Magnum back, which I've owned for almost 15 years.
I know. It's lunacy, isn't it?
Yeah. That's all basically I wanted to say. I didn't know if anybody else out there knew anything about that.
No, I am aware of it. It is true. It's part of the Brady Bill.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell anybody else out there that if they have to pawn a gun, that's what they're up against.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's true. That's nuts, isn't it? In other words, if you are grandfathered and you already own it. Oh, well. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am fine. Where are you?
Where am I? Well, may I just say, first of all, that I have to turn my radio down. That's probably one of the problems you have on your talk show. And there is a lot of wasted time when people don't answer. You know, I'm listening to the show for many years, and that wastes my time.
Where are you?
Morro Bay.
Morro Bay. Have you called before?
Yes, I have.
Then you're wasting all of our time, because you're on the first-time caller line breaking a rule.
I didn't call before today.
Well, that's what I said. Have you called before, and you said yes?
Well, in years past, I called.
Oh, well, then you're not a first-time caller, see? You're not a first-time caller. That's for people who have never called the program before. Now, you did exactly what you accused people of doing. That's right. They waste time if they don't turn down their radio. And if they call line when other first-time callers could be getting through, then you waste their time. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is KNZR in Bakersfield.
Yes, sir.
You're technically incorrect about them not confiscating guns.
Oh, which ones? Where have they done that?
Okay, the ATF reclassified the Street Sweeper and the Striker 12 shotgun as destructive devices.
Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm.
And a memo that has leaked out to Gun Week, the weekly gun newspaper.
Yes.
Is that they have all intentions, if the Feinstein bill becomes law, classifying those weapons as destructive devices or machine guns. And in some states, you cannot own a destructive device or machine gun, and so they will have to turn those weapons in.
Okay, but technically, you see, I was correct, because they haven't done that yet. So technically, I was correct, wasn't I?
Well, I haven't as yet done it, put it that way.
Well, is that not a rather important distinction?
Well,
since you talked about technicalities, I would say it's a very important distinction.
Okay, I'll agree with that distinction. All I'm saying is that if this bill that passed both
House and Senate.
Both the House and the Senate, and if filibuster doesn't work, or if Jack Brooks isn't able to stop this in committee, it will become law, if you can't own, if they reclassified and you...
Well, if yes. That's right. Thank you very much for the call. If that happens, if the leaked supposed memo is true, and if they really go out and take guns, then we have a different situation, surely. But the if is an important part. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Greta from Honolulu.
Hi, Greta. How's Honolulu?
Just fine, thank you. I have some news for you that might calm people down out there.
Okay.
About Linda Thompson.
Oh?
Yes, I heard this on our talk show down here called Take America Back. Linda Thompson is going to have a trial marks on August 14th. Have you heard about that?
No, that's a new one.
Okay, well, this is what she was telling us about. And not to let her down, because otherwise the march on the 19th of September would fail. So that might be some good news.
I don't understand. Not to let her down, or the one on the 19th would fail?
Yes, that's what she said. Not to let her down, to come and march on August 14th, and to show up and not to let her down.
Is that supposed to be a peaceful march?
Yes, it is. No uniform or anything.
I see.
So well, that sounds really good.
Well, that's more like it, yes.
I think it sounds wonderful. Anyway, could I also speak to Dreamland?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I heard your Dreamland last night.
Yes.
And a week ago.
Yes.
For the first time. Well, I was absolutely intrigued. I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
The next morning, I came into my store. When I opened up my store, my first customer was a Hawaiian lady. And we started to talk story about their Hawaiian gods and the gods of India.
Yes.
And then I mentioned your show. And I'm telling about the life after. And she stood there and looked at me. She touched my arm and she says, "It's true, Greta. I've been there. I died when I was 23.
Many
I
people,
had chills up my spine.
Many people have done it, ma'am.
It's just incredible.
I agree.
Anyway, I'm glad I got through to talk to you.
I'm glad you did, too. And tell everybody in Hawaii about Dreamland.
Oh, I will. Unbelievable.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Glad you enjoy. It'll be coming up this next Sunday. It's going to be a particularly interesting program. But I love Dreamland. I love that program. It is sort of a natural, and it's gone wild. And I'll tell you, in the 10 weeks we've been on, Dreamland is already on 52 affiliates and growing by the day. If you don't yet have Dreamland in your market, give your affiliate a call and ask them to get it. If they don't run Dreamland as we would hope they would, from 7 to 10 o'clock on Sunday evening, then there's yet another opportunity on the next Saturday, and they rerun it from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock Pacific Coast time. Did you know that? Or they can record it and play it back at their leisure. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. No, you're not. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. I'm calling from Edmonds in KVI country here, 570.
Welcome to the program.
Well, I was wondering if you got a letter like I did. I just opened it up today, just received it today, from... Wayne LaPierre, National Rifle Association.
Yes, I did. It was a special registered letter asking me to join again. And I'm still a member, and I haven't been a member that long, so I'm not sure why he's asking me to renew my membership right now.
Well, he doesn't... this one said if you wanted to extend it for another period of time, you could do so, and evidently the rates are going up.
Right.
But the main gist of his letter, there was a seven-page...
Yeah, I read it. He said he had just come back from some conference, and he was all discouraged and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
And wanted you to send the postcards to Sam Donaldson, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, and USA Today magazines.
Right. You know, I wish he'd come on my program.
I do, too. And I don't understand why. It would be wonderful publicity for the NRA.
I can't figure it. I really, truly can't figure it. We've had everybody I know approach them. And for some reason, they're dead set against it. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. What better publicity could you have nationwide?
I don't know.
This crazy situation.
That's right.
Are you going to send in those cards?
I haven't made up my mind yet. Probably.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about sending mine in, too.
I'm very, very, very angry with them, but
yeah.
Still I view them as the only organization that can really do anything.
Well, that's the way I view it, too. And I joined shortly after you did for the same reasons. I figured that there's got to be somebody to around to be able to fight this in mass in Congress. And so that's one reason why I joined. I also just wanted to mention, too, on that crazy virus.
Yes.
That a couple of people had called. I heard that, too. It was either today or yesterday on the radio. I only heard it once. So I didn't. I would need to hear it again to be able to absorb it better.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it sounds terrible. This virus works so fast in just a matter of a few days, it can just practically eat you alive.
What did they say? Mankind may not go out with a bang, but a whimper.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, I'm going to have to get some news on this. I'm sorry, I don't have any, and I haven't heard about it. So. Sounds awful, doesn't it? A virus, something that causes you to begin to get what appears to be gangrene, and it quickly spreads to your entire body, and that's it. I'm sorry, I'm just hearing about it from the callers. I have not heard the newscast, but I will try and get that information. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. On the wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
KENI, Anchorage, Alaska.
Yes, indeed.
The fellow that called a few minutes ago was worried about his guns and being turned into destructive devices. Made me think of the crime bill that's presently before Congress. And, of course, the negotiations going on between the two houses at the moment as to what will the ultimate end be with regards to the ban on the so-called assault weapons.
Yes.
And I think my remedy for crime, I've been thinking about it somewhat here lately, and I think there's a pretty easy way of doing it without passing any more laws and restricting anyone's rights. I think if we just enforce the laws that we presently had diligently for at least 1 year, we'd probably see a lot of criminals that would become so, criminal behavior would become so hazardous that only actual lunatics would engage in it.
Well, where would you put the criminals that you caught? Where would you store them?
Well, we seem to have some excess bases at the moment, which I disagree with also, but that's another subject altogether. And there's certainly far more damage being done by these, I'll call them professional criminals.
All right, sir, I don't know what kind of phone you've got, but it sounds terrible.
I don't know. It's one I've been using for years.
Really? It makes you sound like you're spitting.
Oh, is that right?
You know, it sounds like...
I'll move it a little bit further away from my mouth. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, that helped a lot.
Did it? Okay. Going on further, I think there are two things that are responsible for the cheating that we have of justice. The first is not the legal procedure, but the chaotic state, it's the chaotic state of the legal procedure, not of the law. The law is pretty sufficient.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. We've just got to enforce it. Right. We've got to enforce it. That'd be a good idea. The trouble is you need a place to keep all those criminals, and I take your idea with regard to the military bases. Maybe they're thinking about that now. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Joellen in Albany, Georgia.
Well, hello, Joellen. How's Albany, Georgia this morning?
Oh, it's cool and it feels great.
Good.
Got the windows open, enjoying the weather.
All right.
What I wanted to call about was Rostenkowski's pardon.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Democrat wanted to do the pardon on the same basis that Nixon was pardoned.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm a right-winger, but I'll be honest with you. If he'll do it the way Nixon was pardoned, I'll go along with it. First, Nixon has to resign.
That's right.
And then he has to admit that he did something. I'm sorry. First Nixon resigned, and then he had to admit that he did something wrong. So that's what we have to do with Boston Castle.
Well, I even had a better thought.
Okay.
As long as it could be his last day in office, let it be.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
See what you're saying. But he also has to admit that he did something wrong.
Rostenkowski?
Yes.
So he's got to sort of publicly apologize.
Correct.
I see.
What we did with Nixon.
Uh-huh.
And under those conditions, if just to get him out of office and to get him away from the health care plan, I'm for it.
What about his pension?
Well, he's been in office a long time. I really would let other people make that decision. Quite frankly, I think that pensions and salaries should be paid by the states and not by the federal government, and that the states should make the decision. I've always believed that.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Take care. Albany, Georgia. And on the wild card line, you're on the air without a whole lot of time.
Hi, Art. This is Val in Albuquerque.
Hi.
I just wanted to briefly respond to the people that have been calling about this new disease in Great Britain.
Oh, yes.
I've heard about it several times, and I've told you before I work in a medical laboratory, so I may know a little more. What it is a group A streptococcus, which is the organism which causes strep throat. This organism has always caused, and in some cases with strep throat, a really nasty red rash after the strep throat has gotten well.
I know, but they're talking about gangrene.
Well, yeah, and what I was going to get to is that it's been mutating for years. We have now penicillin-resistant strep, and I think with a lot of organisms, we're seeing, because of the strong antibiotics we're using, we're seeing them mutate, and that's what I think has happened here.
Well, not with a bang, but a whimper.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, and in this case, I know I've talked to you about these people with the gas coming from their bodies and all. It's unlike that, I believe. I think this is really something that is just a really nasty mutation.
All right. We've got
to
hold it there. I'm going to find out what I can about that. Thank you all. I'm out of time. I'm sorry. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow, whatever time you normally join us. See you then. In the meantime, it's off to shortwave in 3890, 3.890. Be there in a few minutes. Thank you. See you tomorrow.